everybody. Welcome to episode 159 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. And today is March 13th, 2012, and I'm your host, Greg DeLacy. And joining me this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
I've had better days. I seem to have a nasty chest cold going on that just will not go away. This cough just has lingered and lingered and lingered. So
right.
I will do my best not to cough in your ear today, both you and the listeners.
Okay, thanks for that, mate. Thanks for that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Sorry I couldn't be on the show last week. Sorry about that. I apologize.
But I'm was it farm animal filming, I believe is what we were saying was going on?
Really? No. It wasn't filming farm animals. It was...
Farm Girls?
I can't remember now. Can't remember.
Hmm.
I was going to say, I wish it was Farm Girls, but I don't think I do.
It might not be the worst gig in the world.
I think we should move off the subject, to be honest.
I'm a bit
flustered, Greg, because I've just come in, I've rushed in, I've met a local legend. I've just recently just met a, like, you know when you meet like somebody like kind of kind of famous, but you think he's a legend? And you're like, oh, no, yeah! And I met him. He's a news presenter, basically, for the local news.
Okay.
And his name's Bob Warman. And I met him, and I went, Bob Warman! And he went, yo. Well, he didn't say yo, he's like 50-odd, but he went, hi, hello. And I was like, I watched you when I was a kid. I always watched you on the news. And he's like, oh, thanks a lot. And he was just asking a lot of questions. I've just come back from this awards thing where I just blagged the hell out of it. That's a story for another podcast. But basically, no one noticed that I didn't have the right shit. But, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
You know what? What are you going to do? Exactly.
Yeah. I got paid for a job and I did it. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah. No one figured it out. No one noticed that I was panicking. What can you do? That's another story. That's another story, Greg. But I met Bob Warman. Bob Warman's a legend. And he's like the Roger Moore of news, Greg.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because I was... Yeah, he's a legend. Sure.
He's like meeting Roger Moore. It's amazing. He's like, wow, you're so cool. That's what I've been getting up to. I can't remember why I wasn't here last week. I think there was, I don't know, a spider in the room or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. I think there was a spider on your keyboard, and you were afraid to go near the keyboard.
I'm not scared of spiders, actually, but I was really tired, I think, last week. I was just so tired. I was like, there's no way I'm going to make that. So
instead of risking falling asleep on the show, you decided to
stay professionalism,
away.
You know?
It's professionalism.
I don't want to fall asleep on a podcast because that's unprofessional. And I'm all about being professional. Even though I was panicking tonight, I still look like a professional. People wouldn't have noticed that I was like, oh, he's cool. Cool as ice.
Cool as the other side of the pillow.
Oh, yeah. But move on. Who else is in the podcast?
We have Mr. Christopher Matthew with us this week.
No, you don't.
Okay, we don't. We have Chad Warden.
Chad Warden. What I was going to say was the good news, Greg, is that you won't have to cough in the listener's ear today because today is Tuesday. They probably won't hear us until Thursday, so at least those germs will have died.
Yes, and I should be healthy by Thursday. Let's hope.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea what else I was going to say other than hello, everyone.
Well, you know what? That is probably good enough. And we do have one other person that we are bringing into the show. He's a latecomer to the party, so we're going to pull him in right now. And as soon as I get him in here, you'll hear the lovely sounds of Mr. Richard Webster for a change of pace.
Yeah, Rich Webster here, Big Bad Daddy, back for another week. I'd be here more often, guys, but you know what they say, you know, there's too many dicks on the dance floor sometimes.
Yeah, hang on. Nice Flight of the Conchords reference, but hang on, right? Didn't we cover PC gaming for 2012?
We did it for this quarter, yeah.
You're on quarterly now. Like, I didn't see the contract. What the fuck? I'll go out of here!
So, we're going to keep the PC tech talk to a minimum this show. It seems many a listener actually passed out.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. Okay.
Well,
you can't control it?
Chris is called...
You can only hope to contain it?
Chris has caught the bug, so he's free to discuss. I'm just here as a gamer today, you know, just an average gamer.
I feel like I'm in a zombie apocalypse and everybody else has got the PC bug, right? And I'm in the corner with a gun going, fuck it, I'll use the last bullet on myself.
Sounds like a great plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, how good was that episode of Walking Dead this week?
Oh, excellent. How excellent. Good? See, that's what I was thinking. Mike, it's like an episode of Walking Dead.
Nope.
And the PC infected are coming after you, and you're cornered. You don't know what to do. You've got one bullet. There's two zombies. What do you do? Do you take one in your own head, or do you take one zombie out and hope for the best?
I don't know.
You said you're going to shoot me now, Greg. I don't know if you want to go there.
I think I would. I would be shooting you because I mean, between the two of you, I'm thinking, okay, big zombie, as in zombie Chris Matthew, versus littler zombie, Richard Webster. No offense, Richard Webster.
No, none taken.
I'm thinking my chances are better at getting past Mr. Webster than they are you, especially after having met you.
He's wiry.
See, I'm one of the zombies from 28 Days Later, so I fucking sprint. I don't wobble across the floor.
Yeah. What are you trying to say, Chris?
No, I am going to kill you, Webster.
No, it's just American zombies are all really slow, aren't they? When there's a zombie film in England, they fucking sprint. I'm not even messing. Have you seen 28 Days Later?
Oh yeah, that's a good flick.
Yeah, that's how we roll. You know, everyone in Britain were just busy, too busy wait around.
If I was a zombie, I would not be fucking running. No chance.
Well, if you ever saw Zombieland, there was a lot of running zombies there.
Yeah, there was. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they tend to run narrow, don't they?
And Walking Dead. Hello, those zombies. They are both slow and fast.
Yeah, you know what's less interesting? PC tech talk.
Zombie talk.
Zombies.
Yeah. But, Mr. Webster, you do seem to always work your way into the show right around when a big RPG releases. That's what I have noticed.
I'm basically picking and choosing what I decide to talk about by literally picking and choosing when I'm here.
Pretty much.
I haven't really got much else to say. RTS games are dead these days, so there's nothing else really for me to talk about. It's got to be RPGs. If it was 10 years ago, Greg, I'd be all over Age of Empires, like The Flash.
I do expect you to be jumping back on the show when we start talking about XCOM Enemy Unknown down the road.
Oh, yeah.
But for now...
I'm so drooling over that game.
It does look good. Anyway, all right, let's talk about what we've been playing right now.
Let's do it.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
And just when we think we're ready to talk about what we've been playing, we have yet another addition to the podcast, Mr. Primrose.
Hey. You all right?
I'm good. Richard Primrose in the house, making it basically a full house.
Did you just fall off a cliff there, mate?
I fell off a sofa.
Oh, big fucking high sofa.
No, I've been shrunk.
Oh yeah, like, you're very like, small.
Yeah.
Mr. Primrose, how have you been?
All right, not too bad. How's everybody else?
We have covered it. Everybody is fantastic except for me, who is sick, and Webster, who's a PC lover that's not going to talk about PC gaming. We've abolished him from talking about it.
I literally have to stop myself from insulting him because he was a PC gamer. I was going to insult his PC gaming habits, and then I was like, no, Mike.
See, the funny thing is, PC gamers say the same thing about you and me, Mike.
Yeah, but I'm
kind of like, one of those console types.
You don't know the difference between an X video card between a like RAM thing.
Rich, what amount of RAM would you recommend for your new Xbox console when it comes out?
That's the X3 model.
It depends on the speed and if it's, you know, dual channel or triple channel. And, if it's gauged or non-gauged RAM, you know, the way the CPU might read it.
I'm totally not engaged, but missed bump to this conversation. Moving on, Greg, go.
Yes, moving on. All right, We're going to talk about what we've been playing. Clearly, we will be talking about Mass Effect 3 today.
Spoiler!
No spoiler to it. We will keep it spoiler-free.
Completely spoiler-free.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes, Shepard is in the game. but we're going to talk about that last. So for now, we're going to cover everything else we've been playing.
Yep.
Get that out of the way. And we will also make a promise. If it's something that came out more than a month ago...
I've got nothing to talk about. See you later. I'm off.
More than a month ago, we keep that conversation short and brief.
Oh, okay.
So, Mike.
Yo.
You haven't been here for a little while? We could almost make the comment as nearly as long as Richard Webster. What have you been playing?
All right, so... I listened to a little bit of last week's show because I'm a busy guy because I didn't listen to all. Plus, I'm a diva, right? I listened to last week's show and Primrose, fuck you, right? Half-Life is still great because I'm playing it now, right? For my fourth time. The game is still great, still holds up. Greg, don't go with the argument. Don't say that it was good and you think it's over. It's a great game. It's brilliant. Yeah, okay, it goes on for a little bit too long, some of the sections. But by the time you get out of it, it's like a relief. It's like, oh, yes, a new section. All right, and the whole hoverboat thing, you can just go to hell because that's still a great game.
Rose tinted glasses.
How can it be rose tinted glasses? If you go rose tinted glasses, if you go back to an old game that you think is good and then you realise that it's shit. For example, if I went and played GoldenEye 007 now, I realise that the frame rate is terrible and the graphics are awful. But I play Half-Life 2 now and it's still brilliant. So rose tinted.
The way you obtain the rose tinted glasses is by playing it when it first comes out, and then you then own the rose tinted glasses.
But if you go back
to play it over and over again, you've still got them fucking rose
tinted. No, the rose tinted glasses go away. Right, so anyway, Mute owned. I've also put, let's talk about recent games. L.A. Noir, everyone. So, I forget things, you know, because I'm a diva. I forget.
Like how bad it was?
No, because obviously it's 2011 Game of the Year nominated by every website on the internet. And the thing is, I downloaded all the Rockstar things. On a sale, like some kind of like drunken binge buy that you do on
right.
Steam all the time. Even I bought something on Steam on a sale, and I don't like it, right? I bought Killing Floor. I've never played it. So I bought the whole missions and stuff for L.A. Noir, and I went, I know, I just finished Deus Ex, which we'll go into that in a sec. I'll play L.A. Noir. It's short and sweet. Played it. Missions, great. You just look at stuff and move your hand awkwardly and just call people bullshit. Then, I've also downloaded DLC for Mass Effect. Now, let's talk about a new game, Mass Effect 2, that is, 2. So, I've been playing Mass Effect 2, and people sent me messages saying, what's wrong with your Mass Effect? It says 2. And I believe CPM sent me a message saying, lols. And
I did, because I was laughing out loud at that moment in time.
Yeah, because... you know, I was playing it, and the people were saying, "Oh, you suck," because you played something that's not cool. It felt like school again. But the thing is, I was really enjoying myself because to me, it's new Mass Effect. All right, Mass Effect 2 is great.
Right.
New Mass Effect 2 is equally as brilliant. But the problem is, I played the Overlord, the Liara thing. I know I didn't have sex with Liara in mine. I had sex with the racist woman, Ashley, so go figure. And I also, played the other one where you... what's the name of the assassin?
Shadow
Izumi
something.
Stolen Memory.
There you go. Played those.
There's that one there.
Problem is, right, the Liara one was definitely the best one, but they're still pretty short. And now I've got that itch, the Mass Effect itch. You know, I was
well,
on and the music and...
Mike, I've got some good news for you.
I can't wait till 2013 when Mass Effect 3 comes out. I cannot wait for it. Wait, what? What's this?
You'll be queuing out set-aside game for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, good luck with that.
oh,
the boys at Winters.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the game with my Mass Effect 3 and go, this is what it looks like, bitches. So I've got that Mass Effect itch now, so I think I'm going to play this. I'm not going to wait a year, because that's half retarded. So I think I'm going to buy it soon, because I've really... the music, everything, just... my Shepard was there, and Miranda was there. She was still sexy, and she was like, come up later, so I bet you will. I don't know. Still great game, so I've got the Mass Effect itch. Deus Ex. I finished Deus Ex. and it fucking sucks. It's a shit game. Starting out really good, and the atmosphere is good. I'm sure that they put a lot into the concept art and how it would feel and look, and they really nailed that. They really got an atmosphere in it. But
right.
Animation, terrible. Conversation, terrible. Pace, terrible. Gameplay, okay, awkward sometimes. Enemy AI, stupid and very forgettable, like they are in stealth games. Conversations, dialogue, story, all boring and meh. In the end, it looks all flash and cool at the start, but once you kind of get into it and scratch the surface and then realise it's not really that much of a polished product. And the end, you know, the boss fights are cheap, we all know that, but the ending is pretty awful, to be honest. So
the ending to me, I laughed because, well, I did multiple endings, yeah. I went to a couple different endings.
Didn't even know it had multiple endings, but the ending he gave me was fucking spiel about, oh, well, we should watch what we're doing, man, because we're fucking out of the machine, oh, shit, we got robotic arms! And I was like, yeah, who cares? So.
Well, when you go into that last room.
Yeah.
And you basically choose a button, so to speak, to choose your destiny.
Game sucks, don't even bother.
Well, what I was trying to say was those endings were just like different variations of the same film, it felt like.
Brilliant.
It's this crazy, full motion video film ending. Collage.
Richard Webster wants to say something, I believe, Greg.
Rich, what would you like to say?
Just very briefly, I played it on...
Right, go on.
I played it on PC at my friend's house because I was really looking forward to it. And I didn't play for long, but there was two things that come away from it. One, the guy sounds like the fella who plays the guy in Hitman, the movie. Sounds like him. That's what I thought it was, and I was dead excited. I was like, yeah, it's that guy who does Hitman. And then the second one was it made me sick playing the game. I couldn't play.
Really?
Yeah, I had motion sickness for the first time ever.
Just because it was awful. But I've had...
I think it was my subconscious saying, do you know what? I've got a feeling Mike Chinn will think this is shit.
Yes.
That's possible.
Find a way to not like it.
I've had some...
Now, Rich, I have...
Go on, Greg.
I've got a little treat for Rich. The guy that plays Hitman in the movie,
mm-hmm.
who you like,
yeah.
is also in a TV series now called Justified, which I think you would really enjoy.
Torrent. I'm guessing it's not
Justified.
On
yes.
So I've had some tweets because I was commenting about how shit this game was last week on the Veteran Gamer Show. Like it started to get shit. Like it starts off really well, and you're like, oh, this is gonna be good, and it's like, oh no, oh dear God. So I've had some tweets about some people saying like Greasy Fistlip saying, listen to last week's podcast, and you totally put me off. Deus Ex, it sounds shit. I only bought it last week. Sorry, Greasy Fistlip. And you know, Hell Patrol says I've been Deus Ex without finishing the boss fight. Finishing the boss fight's pissed him right off. And apparently now I owe Greasy Fistlip's £8 because I started off saying it was good, and he went and bought it for £8, and then now I said it was terrible. But you know, I want to know. So apparently I owe him £8, and somebody else said Maverick. Says that I owe him some money as well. I owe people money just because I talked about a game. What the hell?
Mike, you owe me money.
True. This is true. But I'm not going to give it to you.
Damn it.
But those are the games I've been playing. And next for me, I have... like I said, I'm kind of going through Half-Life again. But I also have Rage sitting here. So I might give that one a bash.
Yeah, I've still not played much of Rage.
I'm just going to see what you say about Rage.
You both talked about them. I have no idea what each of you said.
Yeah, I know. We basically, Rich was saying he hasn't played too much of Rage.
Uh-huh.
He needs to play more of it.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying it'll be interesting to see what you say about Rage because it was a game that I saw a huge amount of potential and enjoyed at times a lot.
Yeah.
But there were definite things they could have done better. And
I think it's kind of getting... I mean, it's with Deus Ex, it came and came and went very quickly, and I think Rage did as well, so we'll see what we think. But enough of me. Enough of me, Greg.
Enough of you. Enough of you already. God. Mr. Webster.
Hi.
What have you been playing?
Brief ones, you know, the usual Battlefield.
The old Battlefield.
Usual Battlefield. Usual Skyrim, you know... Fortress Craft, just want to talk about for a quick sec. It's had like 8 updates. I think it's the most updated indie game.
Now, Fortress Craft is available on Xbox Live Indie Games as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. That's where I've been playing it.
Okay, that's where you've been playing it. Okay, I wasn't sure if you were playing this off the old that box that sits underneath your desk right there, or if it was on your console.
No. I don't think it's actually on PC. I think he's trying to get it on PC and on live as well. One of his games is on live. But it's had like 8 updates now, and you can... I'll just talk dead briefly about one of them. There's like a room in the game where you can build a shape out of the normal big blocks, and it'll make a smaller version. So there's like a... It's like a room. And so you build like a chair shape, so it's a massive chair. But then it'll make a little block version, so you can put little blocks, and they're all that shape. So that's quite cool. And he's had for like 8 updates. It's the biggest selling indie game ever. He's like a millionaire, starting his own developer company and all that sort of stuff. And it's really good to check it out, Fortress Craft.
Yeah. Now, I got a question for you, Rich.
Mm.
Now, we know the similarities between Fortress Craft and Minecraft are like, I mean, Fortress Craft, direct ripoff of Minecraft, but he put it out on an Xbox Live indie game and found a home for it. When Minecraft comes to Xbox Live, are you interested, or have you kind of got your fill with Fortress Craft?
I've kind of
got... I mean, does that, like, the co-op play, does that kind of excite you?
I've kind of got me fill, and there's a difference with Fortress Craft and Minecraft. Fortress Craft was planned to be, like, 7 games. Part 1, part 2, part 3, blah, blah, blah. And although in the title it says craft, it's misleading. You don't actually craft anything. Like in Minecraft, you use things to make things. In Fortress Craft, you just place blocks of different styles, you know, like a brick block or a grass block. Just place blocks.
Okay.
He's adding crafting later. So at the moment, it's kind of the creation side. It's just you just build stuff.
I think it's like an arcadey version of Minecraft. And I prefer,
right.
I prefer it. There's none of that pissing about. Trying to mix things together and stuff.
The graphics are a bit easier on the eyes as well. It's not all pixelated Nintendo 64 fucking pre-95 graphics. It's like, it's nice and smooth, and it's got bloom and HD and all that sort of shit. But there is a game on indie games at the moment. I think it's, what's it called? Total Miner Forge, I think it's called. And that is like Minecraft. It's like pixelated graphics. You can make stuff, put wood together and make a torch. If you know, you can dig for coal. So there's that as well. So I don't know. Did you hear that Mojang guy's or Mojang, fucking whatever his name is, he's offered to pay for Psychonauts 2 to be developed or something? Did you read about
that? Yes, we heard about that.
A bit pretentious.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, clearly he's not going to be able to put enough money to get that game actually made, but he certainly could help support that.
Oh, he won his...
Rich, I'm just curious to see, you said that that's pretentious. You think that's pretentious, Dave?
Well, no, it's like if I become a millionaire, I'm sat there in my castle, and I'm thinking, what can I do? I know, I'm going to pay someone, a group of guys, to make Age of Empires 4, because I can. It just seems really pretentious.
No, but I take it as the standpoint as like, right, like, what game do I really want to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people want Psychonauts 2. You know what I mean? People have been crying out for it, blah, blah, blah. Like, Beyond Good and Evil 2, for example. Right? So somebody who's rich, what really likes Beyond Good and Evil, and he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to put my money in, and I want it to happen.
I know what Mike could do. Mike could go to Rockstar and say, I want you to make me a Grand Theft Auto game and only give me one copy.
No, I'd say... that's a great... Greg just nailed it. I'd say, make me the character. I'd say, please make me the character, or one of. I will put money in this game if I'm a good, if I'm like a big character in the game, I would love it. And I'd die.
Coming this fall, Grand Theft Auto 17, starring Mike Kung Fu Chin.
No, the diva with a beard. Mike Chin.
Mike, some black country yam yam from England, brilliant. because. You know, the thing is, Rich, the reason why I bring that up is because I don't think that's pretentious. You know, I can kind of see where you're going, but I just think Notch is a massive gamer, because if I had a lot of money, I would be doing more stupid shit. Like, I would see a swimming pool and go, fill that with custard. Boom. You know, because, like, that's what I would be doing with my money. I'd just be doing stupid shit. So I reward him in some ways for being sensible with his money. He's putting it something that he'd love. So I don't see it as pretentious. I just thought it was interesting to pick that up.
All right, let's move off the pretentious talk.
I don't know if this was news with you guys, but about the lawsuit with Bethesda as well. Did you read about that today?
Oh, the Scrolls
thing.
It's all sorted.
Yeah. He's allowed to use Scrolls. Could
maybe
that not
Todd
have been sorted out months ago?
Maybe Todd Howard is a massive Psychonauts fan, and he went, you know what? You pay for that game. We're cool.
It probably is. Well, they had an interview, didn't they? Him and Mojang guy, they had like a little half an hour interview. I've seen it on YouTube. They're quite cool.
What, each like, other? Like, they interviewed like each other or something?
Yeah, yeah, across the table. I think it was at like fucking at E3 or something, and they were there, and like Todd Howard was like, "So what got you into gaming?" And he was like, "Well, you know, I was playing, you know, Elder Scrolls 2, yeah, and, you know, the guys, it was just the guys." And Todd Howard was like, "Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, yeah."
I was playing,
pretty good.
I was playing the game, and I thought, wow. I was playing with Lego, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be good if Lego was a video game? And then I made it, and now I have money. Now I'm going to sit on a throne made of ants.
We're moving on.
I want to play Mass Effect 3. Moving on.
And we will talk about that shortly.
I'm Commander Shepard. Fuck you guys.
Mr. Matthew. Are you still with us?
I'm sorry, what? Are we doing a show?
We're doing a show.
Okay.
We're talking about what we've been playing.
We are.
Yeah,
I haven't been playing anything.
You know what?
Okay.
You know what, Chris? You act like you don't like being here, but you love being here.
I love it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you were like, man, we talk about Mass Effect 2 for 40 minutes.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.
he's like the dad leaning over the playpen.
See, with Chris, when I talk to Chris, and I think everybody feels the same, you constantly think that he hates you, right? But Chris is probably one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. Greg's met him in real life. He's, you know, so normal and laid back, you just think that he hates you. But really, that's just Chris, you know?
I hope people really don't think that I hate them.
I think you hate me, and I think you probably secretly kill me every day.
That hurts me. That hurts me, Mike.
I thought you know, you were very friendly to me up until you punched me.
Well, you know, you kept saying bad things about my dog. What do you expect?
You know? Hey, the dog had it coming.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Matthew, let's talk about what you've been playing.
Let's talk about what I've been playing. I'll save the big one for the big discussion with the group. I have, of course, been playing Forza Motorsport 4.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I haven't played Battlefield 3 this week.
What?
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, he hasn't played it.
It's been months since I haven't played it. I do need to get back in there though. But anyway, played a little bit of Halo Reach briefly on basically on Sunday night. I realized I've been playing Mass Effect 3 since Tuesday without stopping, and so I sent a message to a couple friends. I was like, hey, I need to take a break from Mass Effect 3. Does anybody want to play Halo Reach? And so we played some Halo Reach and had fun, and then I went right back to Mass Effect 3. Yes.
I understand.
And that's my list.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have our AA meeting on Mass Effect 3 shortly.
Yeah, I thought about playing Bioshock 2 because it was on sale for $5 on Steam, and so I bought it, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
So are you having a Mass Effect 3 spoiler thing after the show?
Not a spoiler thing.
It's too early for spoilers.
No. We're not going to do any spoilers.
We're just going to talk about what we know and what we've experienced, what we like, what we dislike, if Shepard's cock's bigger, just the usual stuff.
Exactly. Webster, way to put it all in a clear, concise comment.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Primrose, what about you? Anything on the playlist outside of the Mass Effect 3 realm?
Played some Modern Warfare 3 with some folks I haven't played with in a long time from G4TE. I was playing with True Shot, Zed Fool, Sansan, and Yum Yum Bacon, is it?
Yeah.
Yum Yum Bacon.
Love it.
That was good, yeah. Headcock or Headquarters, obviously it's made its way onto the playlist at last. Okay. So yeah, I was having some good time playing that. Very successful. And just carried on basically playing Batman Arkham City. Hit a frustrating point. And I don't know, I think something was wrong with the game. I got past the Mr. Freeze bit that I was telling you about last week. And
right.
you get remote control batarangs in this.
Well, I do now.
Yeah, well they have fuse boxes and sometimes you have to
blow fuse. Oh, thanks, Primrose. Totally spoiled the game.
Non-spoiler. Non-spoiler mechanics.
There are now there's Batman in it.
I've seen Robin as well. I wasn't impressed with him. Batman.
Yeah, he was buying the Robin cover. Didn't know Batman was in it.
Did Robbie come in again? Batman, do you need me for anything? Is there anything you need tea or anything? No, you're fine, good. You look great in that suit. Is that Robin?
And then, yeah, Batman's attitude to Robin is basically,
fuck off.
What are you doing here? Fuck off. And that's it.
Yeah. Robin's a dick. Rolos, Greg. I'm eating Rolos.
Yeah, I would appreciate that for the audience as well. Everybody needs to understand why Mike suddenly sounds like he has a mouthful of marbles. It's the Rolos.
Your balls or my balls?
I'm sorry, Primrose.
Your
balls. Continue
ball,
on.
Your ball.
Yeah. So anyway, the
Arkham City issues aside,
the fuse box thing. So I know it worked earlier in the game because I had to do it in like the tutorial bits and came to a level where I can't get any further unless I do some guiding of the Batarang through some tunnels and knock a fuse box out, and it's not working. Every time you hit the box, it doesn't blow it. So I don't know if there's anything I need to do to upgrade the Batarang to make it explode or something, but nobody's telling me anything. There's a lack of communication going off with the game, and I don't like it. It's bugging me.
You can't even look it up in the forums?
Yeah, I could do if I wanted, but I've terminated my Love Film contract, as I said. That game's gone back. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean,
so what
I've been looking... I'm going through. I've made a vow to myself to get rid of my backlog. I've got too many games that I've got to finish, and I'm going to do it. So
yeah, I said the same thing, and then I saw Mass Effect 3 came out.
Yeah, but that would be a buy for me anyway. I won't be renting that. Yeah. It's like Dark Souls. Back to Dark Souls.
Yeah, I have to say I have been contemplating. Shutting down my Gamefly account for a little bit.
I don't feel I'm getting enough. I feel unfulfilled in the games. I just feel like I'm rushed all the time, and I don't like it. So
yeah, I agree. Especially when you have games rolling out this quickly, and especially if you're buying these games, having the rent account only makes sense really if there's like a lull where you can kind of maybe get one or two games and get in there and get them play through, but. With all the big RPGs as well, I mean, God, the amount of hours just between Skyrim, Kingdoms of Amalur, and now Mass Effect 3, you barely fit any of the games in anyway.
Definitely. Yeah, so that was it, really. Not much else. A bit of Bastion.
Okay.
That's it.
Excellent. Well, I guess I will round it out. Of course, the Mass Effect 3 stuff we'll talk about shortly. I did give I Am Alive a try.
Oh, I tried that as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I have to say I saw some pretty mixed reviews on the game really early on, a couple pretty bad reviews, and then a lot of really good scores. And so I fired up the trial, and I feel bad for this developer. And I know it's a Ubisoft game, so I don't feel all that bad, but this game, I think, would have done so much better had it not released the week Mass Effect 3 came out.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, I really like this game, but I just can't justify buying it right now because I'm not going to play it. There's too many other big games on my playlist for me to really dive into I Am Alive, but I really liked what I saw. You know, they talk about the climbing and how you have a stamina meter, and it kind of gives you this tenseness to the game. And I really felt the tension. Even in the tutorial, just climbing up, you never quite get that sense of security that you're going to have enough stamina to make it to the next rung to get yourself to safety. And I constantly felt any time I had to start climbing and moving about, you just had, you know, like I said, that level of tension was there, and it was a good feeling. It wasn't a feeling like the game is cheating me. It was just a feeling of the game mechanic really working well.
Greg, there's been some good reviews of this. I mean, a lot of people. It's very mixed. Low scores and high scores.
Right.
Some people are giving this 10 out of 10. Would you agree? Discuss.
Well, I only played the trial, so I can't say. You know, I would give it a 10 out of 10.
Could you see it being a 10?
probably not a 10. Mm. I think this game is going to fall somewhere in a 7 to 8 range for me, which is a good game. And I think if it goes on sale, I will for sure pick it up. If I hit a downtime where I'm looking for a game, I definitely will pick it up as well. I loved the mechanic also. So I guess maybe we should take a step back. I'm Alive. It's a survival game. You're this guy going back across basically the country to get to your loved ones who, you know, you're not sure if they've survived this big calamity. And Primrose, I don't know if I'm missing any points here, but I find some of the plot hole stuff is a little shaky because, I mean, I shouldn't say plot holes. There are plot holes. One, why in the world would you think your family is still in the same apartment after what looks like the entire city has been torn to shreds?
Where else would you go?
I don't know. Anywhere but there.
Where else would you go? They might be waiting for you. I don't have a problem with it. Stu had a problem with that.
Anybody
on the veterangamers.co.uk, you should go to the veterangamers.co.uk, it's a different podcast than our feature on. He had a problem with that. And Duke and I shut him down like a boss.
Well, I mean, I get that you would be saying, no, you would just be staying there. But the way this looks, I mean, the level of destruction, it looks as though it has been a considerable amount of time since this big disaster, the event, as they call it, happened. And the point that you're going into the city to find your wife and kid. So
everything
I don't know.
You've raved about the Walking Dead, you just now need to take back because of the fact that in the first episode he went back to his own house.
Oh no, the Walking Dead. Don't get me wrong, that also has holes.
Yeah,
but remember, in the Walking Dead, he woke up from a coma, had no idea what had happened.
28 days later, home fest.
Walked out. I mean, he was in his own town. This guy was across the freaking country.
Yeah, but
and this big event happened.
If you was out in town, you have to come back. You would go to your own house. You'd see. Maybe they left a message here. We're at so and so place. You know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I get it. Going back to the apartment, maybe it makes sense.
Is it kind of like the end of War of the Worlds, where he goes and they're all happily unscratched in
that
nice house.
That's my problem with that.
That's what he's hoping for. But apparently, you know, I mean, so far at least what I've seen, that's not the case. The city is trashed, and everybody you come across, you come across people, and they potentially can be allies. More than likely, they're going to be adversarial, and the game uses this great mechanic of. One, you're not some crackshot Rambo type person. You know, you have some weapons at your disposal. You have a gun, but very, very limited ammo. I mean, you start off the tutorial, you get one bullet. And you can pull the gun up and aim it at somebody, and they'll think you've got bullets in it, and they may back away.
Hmm.
Some enemies may still press you. And I had an encounter where I had four guys pressing me. And the leader, I kind of identified him the leader based on what he was saying out of the group, and I chose to shoot him. And I only had one bullet. And the rest of the pack started to kind of freak out, and they started backing away once he went down. But then I made the mistake of dropping my weapon down, and the guy came at me because I lowered my guard too quickly. And then I went into a big melee attack fight with this guy and another guy. I took a hatchet to one guy's head, and then I got killed. But it was good. It was good tension, and I loved the whole, you know what, sometimes you're going to get into a situation like I walked around a corner and walked in on this person with his little campfire, and that person immediately drew down on me with a gun and said, get the fuck away. And my character had already raised up his hands, and I knew I didn't have a bullet, I didn't have anything, so I just backed away.
They watch shit's crazy in the streets.
Yeah, but it really gives you that sense, and that's what I love about what I'm Alive has done. I think it really gives you that survivalist kind of feeling of, you know, surviving a post-apocalyptic situation where you're just an average guy. You're not some crazy, you know, again, you're not, you know, Joe Rambo, You're not some super, you know, gymnast that can do anything, you know, climb anything. As you're climbing up, every time you use, you know, basically every time you make a move as you're climbing, your stamina meter's going down, and it hits a certain point, and when it gets into the quote-unquote red zone, you have to basically use the triggers really fast to try and get yourself to a safe spot. And if you can't make it in time, you will fall because you'll lose your grip. You'll get too tired. You can't hold on. And it's a great mechanic. It works really well. I'm sure it gets frustrating as you get into the game at times because it's probably going to just give you just enough health that if you're doing it just the right way, you're going to make it. But if you're not, you're going to keep dying. But yeah, I've got a really positive vibe about I Am Alive. And again, I just feel bad it came right as Mass Effect 3 launched. Because as soon as I popped in Mass Effect 3, I completely forgot, oh yeah, I tried I Am Alive. I don't know. Mr. Primrose, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I didn't like the... I thought the... Everything was said about it was like to do with parkour and the movement and everything was going to be nice. And I had probably biased opinion about previous outings with Assassin's Creed and so on. I didn't feel like the movement was very fluid. It was a bit sticky when you was trying to transfer from one place to another. And that put me off it at the beginning.
Okay. I could see that. I could definitely see that.
I was ready to make a stupid purchase at the end of last week's show, but I didn't after playing it. So all I've got to say...
This is the game they trailered about 4 years ago, wasn't it? And then changed it to, Monsters a couple of years later.
Well, no, it was going to be a full retail release, and then I Am Alive went dark, and Ubisoft was saying nothing about it, and then suddenly it reappeared as a Xbox Live Arcade game and PSN game. So they scaled back a lot from it. No, I haven't come across any monsters. As far as I know, there's no monsters. I think you're thinking of the Naughty Dog game that's being developed, The Last of Us.
Might be, yeah.
But anyway, enough of that. I think we can safely jump into Mass Effect 3 talk at this point. Again, let's make sure we're not talking spoilers, guys, because the game literally just came out last week. So
shall I go for this?
I think you can stay for this because I don't think we're going to talk spoilers.
I'm going to talk what I like mechanics. And what I don't like. I'm not going to give story or anything.
Yeah, I want to stay away from story. I want to talk about mechanics. I think we can talk about the multiplayer co-op.
You can. I'm
how
I'm
that interacts. Okay. Mm. Well, why don't we start off?
You kick it
Mr.
off,
Mr. Matthew. Right? Well, Mr. Matthew, I know you have some definitive thoughts on Mass Effect 3, and I think you're probably one of the more interesting people with regards to this game, in my opinion, because you had a certain amount of hate for this game early on, and I think some of that still is there with regards to the co-op play.
I'll tell you who isn't there, though. Christopher Matthew. He'll be back in 5 minutes.
Well, I did really hate it for a
America.
While.
And I hate everyone, but I really love you all, but I don't want to say that because that's gay, and Mass Effect 3 is just like Mass Effect 2, but not as good. Shit, achievements.
Well, there we go. That's what Chris was thinking.
Oh, yeah, Chris. Is it weird?
Well, so, okay, the
run.
Shut up! Hold on.
This is awesome. All right, Mass Effect 3, let's talk about the single player, I guess, at this point. We'll get Chris in, we'll start talking about the co-op play. So, Mr. Primrose, you do or do not have Mass Effect 3 yet, correct? Mass Effect 3?
I do not have Mass
Effect 3. Okay. So, really, Mr. Webster, it's you and I. Let's talk some game mechanics.
Okay.
What are you liking what they're doing? What are you not liking what they're doing?
Okay. I'll talk about what I'm liking. And then you chime in with what you're liking as well, just so we have a positive connection, me and you and I.
And I have a C's connection.
Yes, exactly.
As so everyone thinks that I hate them, I will tell you what I don't like.
And now you're back.
I do have some things I don't like, definitely. Didn't think I would, but...
Or are we not recording?
No, we are definitely recording. We had actually turned over to you to talk about the multiplayer, and you had stepped away, and I didn't see your message, so I was talking to you for no reason.
Mark pretended to be you, and I pretended to be your dog.
It might be arguable that you're always talking to me for no reason.
This is also true. But right now, we're going to talk to Mr. Webster about what he's liking with Mass Effect 3, game mechanic-wise.
Okay. So let's go. You know how in Call of Duty, and this is for Primrose and Mike, when you hit a guy, a little reticule comes up inside the reticule?
Yep.
It does that now. So that's kind of helpful.
I like that. That's fine.
Duke will like that a lot.
The shooting feels kind of like Army of Two. I don't know if anyone played that.
Oh, God. No, you're putting me off. It's knocked it down a bit.
No, I mean, like, it doesn't feel like Call of Duty. It feels more like Army of Two. It's kind of, the bullets seem a bit slow, but you hit and you feel it hit in. It's like, does that noise.
Okay.
Eight ball.
Good job. It's a good job this isn't a written review, otherwise you'd have to roll that noise.
I would say the shooting, to me, still feels a little more Gears-like.
Gears.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does kind of a roadie run now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
When he sprints, roadie it run looks is like very helpful. Bends over. Camera goes down a bit. It is like Gears, actually. Why did I say Army of Two?
I don't know.
Stupid.
You're just stupid.
God.
That's stupid.
Yeah. I'm liking. I don't really want to spoil it.
Then don't.
It's there's more choice. To how you play. You know, like Mass Effect is always like a choice of the story. You choose this path. It gives you more choice of gameplay, which I liked, you know, for different people. What do you think about that, Greg?
Well, I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job, and I'm going to take a step back and say that they now give you options of playing this game as either an RPG, an action game, or a much more story-centric game.
That's what I meant. I just wasn't sure if Mike would cry if I said it.
No, this is pretty much common knowledge. I mean, if you choose the RPG mode, it plays like Mass Effect 3 or Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 1 did, in that you're going to have combat, you're going to have the full breadth of combat, you're going to have the full breadth of the storyline stuff and dialogue choices. If you play it in action mode, all the conversation choices are made for you. And so you literally are just sitting back watching it as though it's like an action game.
Stupid.
Much more, it feels honestly a lot like Uncharted 3 in that regard. And I didn't actually have a problem with it when I tried it out in the demo, Mike. I actually was pretty surprised at how well it felt. Because I thought it was going to feel disjointed.
Part of Mass Effect is that you have choice. That's the part of the game.
I agree.
Might as well be every other game. It might as well be every other third-person shooter, if it's not that
fun. Well, and it's appealing to the people that just...
Well, that's
stupid. They don't want to play an RPG. Anyway.
People ask for different things, and then when they get something different, they reject it.
I think probably the most useless one was the RPG...
The story it was called.
The story mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it basically dumbs down the combat and makes combat, you know, incredibly easy. And then it's just really all about the story and the choices. But to me, Mass Effect has always been a combination of the story and the combat. And so when you take that away or make it dumbed down, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, if you take away the gameplay challenge that the player's having, the challenge of actually playing the game, it's making out that this saving the universe is piss easy. It's like, why in the cutscenes are they going on about the struggle and how it's hard and, you know, people's lives are at risk? If you've just got to, like... Yeah. One or two shots and someone's dead. Why are people going crazy? Calm down.
Yeah.
Relax.
You know, it does still have a kind of the staple Mass Effect, base concept of you're going out and getting your teammates together to fight the greater evil. Mm. So, again, you're going to be going off and gathering squad members. I would like to see them, for future Mass Effects, move away from this a little bit. I think they can do some different things and create a better way of handling your squad and your team, as opposed to every game having to go out and get them onto your side. I don't know how you feel about that, Chris. That's something that's kind of gnawing at you a little bit.
You're talking about the dumbing down of the combat to make it more of a story
No, we were actually just started talking about the squad mechanics of, you know, like every Mass Effect game, you go out now and again you're going out and getting team members to fight on your side.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry for spacing out on you there. I just downloaded the Mass Effect 3 datapad app for my iPad and I'm currently mesmerized by it. sorry. Yes.
No, it's okay.
One of the things that kind of gnawed at me a bit at the start of the game was I'm like, really? Twice now, I've gone out in the galaxy and found these people and proven to them that I am the badass that they want to go into fight with, and I have to go do it again.
Find new people.
What's that?
And find new people as well. It's like, what was wrong with the other 13 guys I saved the universe with twice?
Right.
Why do I suddenly need now this big brawly bastard with arms the size of fucking Shepard's waist?
Freaking James, he's a, a freaking
Terminator.
Hawk,
a beast.
Yeah, so it would be nice to just kind of have your team back, I suppose. Certainly, some of the characters they took out, and I understand why, both from a story perspective and from a gameplay perspective. You know, anybody who had the potential to have been killed, they have to sort of minimize their piece of the game. Otherwise, there's potentially, you know, a gigabyte of data on the disk that you may never use.
Yeah, right. So they have to limit their use. Yeah.
Right. I'm kind of annoyed by that. It hasn't been as central a focus. It seems like you pick up the squad mates sort of as a matter of course as you're doing the missions. Right. But still, it would have been nice to start with more squad mates. You've only got James and either Alenko or Williams, whichever one
survived.
Right.
Or whichever one you choose.
And then you pick up one more. But really, for the first three or four missions, you've only got those two. And it's like, so these are my choices. And, you know, so if you're playing on Insanity and you haven't chosen a class that complements those two well, the beginning of the game is going to be very difficult, as it was for me.
Okay. There's a hint. From the mechanics of the game, I'm a little, again, I'm talking about things I'm nitpicking, but I love this game. I want to just be very clear. I really, really am enjoying Mass Effect 3. And maybe it's because these little things are bugging me, speaks to how much I love the game. But things like not being able to holster your weapon bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah, I don't know why they took that out.
Yeah, it's such a simple thing. Or if nothing else, at least when you're not pulling the left trigger to aim at something, you know, he could drop his weapon down.
Yeah, I think they tried to make it like
a guard position. Yeah, but even Gears doesn't seem like... I mean, Gears, at least they have the weapon kind of down in a more relaxed position. This time, you know, in this, they always have that weapon pointed up like they are at the ready to shoot. And it just looks odd, especially with the pistol. I think the pistol more than anything makes it look odd when you're just kind of running along, especially in the very beginning tutorial sections. It just, there's an oddness to it because you're like, why am I holding my pistol, you know, as I'm looking out at the sunset, you know, or the vista?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not aiming at anything, but yet I've got my gun up and ready. I'm ready to shoot.
Yeah, this place is safe. Nothing's going to happen. Yeah. What's going on? I don't know if I'm nitpicking as well. I mean, I love the game just as much as you. I'm sat there doing the sound effects as you go through a Mass Effect, you know, thing. I love it. But there are little things like, I don't know if it's just me, but the camera seems too close.
You're not the first person to say that. I believe I was talking with Steve and Chris. I know you were talking about it. It feels a little tight.
Steve mentioned it, and I have to agree with him. He's, you know, it looks like you're just floating about.
Yeah.
The camera seems too close. Like on the other ones, like I've been playing number one as well because I plan on actually making a save to use through all three. It takes away some of the screen space for the visuals. Do you know what I mean? You pull the camera back a bit more, you can see more of what's going on, but it's kind of really close up. It is really like, it reminds me of Grow. I don't know. You know, it's like kind of right on your shoulder.
Okay.
Another thing that really pissed me off, and I was going to check, because I've got number one and two here. I was going to check if it was the same in them. The journal system, the quest log, is a pile of shit. It's really, really bad. Here's an example, and no, Mike, it's not spoiling. I picked up a quest in the Citadel, as you do, and I'd put it down and, you know, played it again the next day and forgotten. So I thought, oh, I'll just go back and see what it was. And it said something like, a scientist wants you to pick this up. When you've got it, take it back to him. And that's all it said. Yeah. Didn't say which scientist, didn't say where the thing was.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm spoiled from Skyrim, because it's like stages and it's detailed and shows you a marker, or whether it was in number one and two, but it was pissy.
No, it wasn't.
And it really did me head in.
It wasn't that detailed. It was more detailed in number one and two in the galaxy map, right? So when you went to the galaxy map, there was a little flag that said you need to go to this system to do this.
Yeah, on number two it said recruit the assassin or whatever.
Well, and it was the same way in number one. In this one, it's still there, but it's a little hidden. Like the solar system will be flashing if that's somewhere that you need to go check out. But yeah, I agree with you. The journal system's kind of junk. What really drives me crazy about it is the completed quests just kind of get grayed out.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell the color difference.
Well, no, the color difference is fine, at least on my set, because I'm not old and blind yet. But the I know. I'm sorry, Gray. It wasn't nice. The problem is, you know, I've completed a lot of quests, and it just automatically defaults to the middle of the list. So when I go into the journal, I've got to scroll up to get to the active quests because I'm in the middle of my list of completed quests. I'm like, great, thanks.
Do you know what else is annoying? It doesn't give you stages. So I had like five quests for people that I had no idea where they were. I've got a little tip as well for it, which I'll say in a sec after I've moaned about it. So I've got like five Citadel quests. I've got to get this for one guy, this for another, do this, do that. And so I go around all the galaxy. I don't know what I'm getting or where I'm getting it from. So I'm just picking bits up. I'm actually collecting bits. And I thought, okay, once I've got a few of these whatever from these planets, surely the quest log will then say to me, I've now got this thing. Take it back to him. It doesn't even do that. It still says, such and such wants you to get this. It doesn't say if you've picked it up or where to take it to. And this is the only way it works. When you're in the Citadel, you can bring up your map, can't you?
Right.
And you can scroll through the map to each floor. When you've got something to give to someone, they'll be written on the map. It will say, so say, for example, the Presidium, and it'll say number three, the bar, and someone's name will be there, like John, and it'll be in blue. That's because you need to go and speak to them about something.
Got it.
Now, all your squads are always there, Liara, John, or whatever. They're always on there, Liara, Alex, blah, blah, blah. But if you've got something and to give to someone. So it'll say Presidium, and it'll say number five, CSEC. Do you know what I mean when I explain that?
Right. No, totally know what
you mean. It'll say five, CSEC, and then it'll say John Smith underneath that, and it means you've got something to say to him.
Yeah. The maps, by the way, I think are kind of improved in terms of the Citadel, especially the Citadel, where they actually have kind of these, you know, the numbers, as you're saying. It's almost like a map at a mall.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're looking at the big map of the mall, and it's hard as hell to figure out where you need to go unless they have these like big, you know, blue dots or red dots on the map just saying, you know, this store's here and this store's here.
I can answer that.
I find
one.
That pretty helpful.
You go where your wife tells you.
Touche.
but yeah, if you're on the map and you've got something to say to someone, their name will be there. And then when you're close to them, it pops up, doesn't it? Little thing and says they're over there, so that's how you do that.
So, not to continue to harp on Mass Effect 3, but we're going to, because the quest system, on a whole, I just said it, on a whole, it is broken. it maybe not broken, it's just stupid the way they did it. I honestly don't like the way the quests are handled. Because now, you'll pick up quests just by walking by somebody talking about something.
Yeah, they'll say, I really miss my mom. And then it'll pop up a quest. Go and
find her mom.
Go find her mom, and then go back and tell her.
Right.
Yeah.
So you never even, sometimes you won't even know you've picked up a side quest.
Mm-hmm.
but it will populate into your journal as a quest for you to complete.
And that's where the quest saying, a scientist wants you to collect this item, and you're like, what the fuck? I mean, I assume they're in the hospital, but are they? No. What?
Right.
It doesn't even say if they're Salarian or a scientist wants this gizmo.
I don't so much mind that, like, just walking by and getting a quest. That one doesn't bother me as much, because in Mass Effect 1, where you had all these side quests, it did get a bit tedious talking to all these people that really didn't have any, other than giving you this quest, they had no function. So I don't mind that so much.
I don't mind it, but what I've started doing, it's nice for like story and immersion as well. If I'm walking and people are chatting, I'll just stop now and listen just in case a quest pops up. But it's
right,
nice,
but then you're annoyed when it doesn't pop up.
Yeah, because they're just like, I don't know how to break up with him. And then it just stops like that, and you're like, all right, okay, next person, you know. Yeah, so the quest system is broken, I think, completely. The journal, the way you pick them up, even the quest quality is shit now. I'm not spoiling, but it'll be like such and such missing artifact. You go and scan a planet, you got it. Such and such missing, you know, lost their son, go scan a planet. Oh, you find out where they are, that's it. It seems like the only actual action is going to a place, fighting people, and then going back to the Normandy. It seems like they're missing out a lot of the stuff from number one and two that actually made it fun for me. I mean, this game is still fantastic. It's 10 out of 10, almost. But it's lacking for me.
Everyone hated the Mako from Mass Effect 1. Everyone except me.
I love the Mako. It was fun exploring the planets and fighting the Threshermores and all that.
Well, then you and I make two people on the planet that didn't hate the Mako. So they took it away in Mass Effect 2 and replaced it with planet scanning, which everyone hated even more. And so for Mass Effect 3, we just got planet scanning light.
Right.
I have not even found a planet I can land on if it wasn't for a mission either, which I liked exploring the planets.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
I have found a planet you can I guess you really couldn't land on it. You just got to explore it from the scan.
That's what I mean. You can explore, but you can't. Unless there's a mission on that planet, you can't land. Whereas in the first one, you could land on nearly all of them. In the second one, you could land on some. Now in this, it's just missions only. So far, I mean, I'm 10 hours in, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will say that I just recently was doing, and so again, I'm not going to talk story at all, but I had a quest line. And it was a main quest line, and maybe this is a big difference between the side quest and the main quest. But the main quest line had kind of some branching quests happen within it. And what I liked was that as they were branching and kind of developing in the story...
I think I know what you mean. Is it the thing with the three things?
They were all on the same planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty early on.
I liked the fact, though, that I, you know, saw that on this one planet, there were multiple missions for me to go after. And even though I'm pretty sure it didn't matter which order I did them, I certainly felt like there was a proper order in which to pursue these, that it mattered which one I went after first versus the others.
I think the one you're talking about is where you'll go to, like, speak to the guy, and then you'll need to do something else. And then something else will come along, and then it branches off.
That's completely vague. But I like the fact that they did this, and I hope in the future we'll see more of that where, you know, it's not – because in Mass Effect 2, it was you go to the planet, you do one mission, you leave.
Yeah.
And this time it's you go to the planet, you're in orbit, and you're seeing multiple missions on the planet's surface that you can go to. And when you go to them
– Oh, no, I've not done that one. But that sounds cool.
It was different. The locales are different. It feels different.
Mm.
So you're not, you know, it's not like the same landscape every time you go down to the surface again.
Mm.
So,
I mean, we don't know how the game's going to open up, because 40 hours in, you know, towards the end of the middle bit and the start of the end bit, it might open up quite a lot. But so far, it seems really restricted from a exploration point of view.
I think it's going to keep that throughout, Rich, honestly. I think it's going to be, unless there is a mission on that planet, you're going to have, you know, you're only going to be able to land on planets where there's a mission.
I think, do you reckon they've done it because it makes sense that Shepard doesn't swan off around the galaxy filling his kecks with money and bits and pieces while the Reapers are destroying everything that fucking breathes in the galaxy. Do you reckon that's the reason why? Or do you reckon it's because they thought, let's make it a shooter?
If you're in Reaper's controlled area, it's dangerous to land on the planet. So
that's true.
Drop in, take care of your business, get out, take advantage of the Normandy's stealth capabilities.
See, maybe it is context because of the story that they've taken that feature away. Maybe it is, which makes sense.
Or perhaps
they made the story fit because they took that feature away. I think they took that feature away because everyone complained about it, and there wasn't really a way to get it right.
Like in Mass Effect 2, where it's not a spoiler now, is it, Mike? Are you there?
Yo,
have you played Mass Effect 2 yet?
Yeah, finished it.
Fully,
it's all done.
Completed it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know when the Normandy gets attacked by the
collectors?
When the Normandy gets attacked by the collectors and they take a load of people away, and they say to you, right, we need to go after them quick. I don't think going then or going 5 hours later after scanning every planet actually made a difference. So maybe...
It did.
You know. It did?
Yeah, if you... I think you maybe had time to finish one mission before you went, but if you didn't go pretty quick...
I think a lot of people died. By the time I got there, I think
people,
the Dr. Shackle...
All the people that would have been on the Normandy would be dead, and you'd have no one to rescue.
Oh, all the people on the no-name crew are all dead in mine as well, but because when I was... when you find them again, it goes, right, we need one of your squad members to help us escort us back to the Normandy. And I said, fuck that, go yourself. never found the Normandy.
they
never found home again.
No.
All right. Let's wrap up kind of the game mechanics. I want to talk about the multiplayer stuff.
Okay. Before you do that, I just want to say I'm really enjoying it. I don't want to put anyone off. It's less exploring, but it's really fantastic. The shooting is spot on. The controls are a lot better. You're not really restricted as much. You can actually walk next to walls now, not 5 feet away from them and get stopped. it's more free. You can climb over stuff a lot more often. The weapon mods are cool. A quick tip as well. You know, if you've got a, say, for example, a sniper rifle scope enhancer 1 mod.
Right.
Attached to your gun, and then you buy scope 2, it will automatically just upgrade. It won't be like, I now need to pick number 2 scope. It'll just swap it for number 2, and you won't have number 1 anymore.
Okay.
Just in case anybody's wondering, that's a quick tip for you from, you know, Mr. Webster. There you go.
That's good to know.
I'm off now. See you later.
Greg,
that's all I wanted to talk for, just for Mass Effect.
See ya.
Hold on. Primrose wanted to ask me a quick question. Yes, Mr.
Mechanics
Primrose.
Question. Connect. How'd it go?
So Connect. We definitely can talk about that. Unless, Mr. Matthew, you wanted to say anything, we'll talk about Connect for quite a bit here. So
we can come back to it. I think the Kinect, it works. I tried it out in some of the beginning missions, and I was impressed at how well it recognized what I was saying. Despite my slightly southern dialect of American dialect English. But I don't find it, in terms of the battle, I don't find it all that useful. I can see how it would keep the pace quick. But I need to slow the pace down when I'm dealing with the loads of bad guys.
I was going to kind of agree with you there. So the combat, when you use Kinect, speeds up a lot because it is happening. You're not pausing nearly as much as you would normally. And as Chris mentioned, Kinect works really well. It's very responsive. I think the only time I've had any kind of recognition issue with Kinect really was with my son screaming at the top of his lungs and me trying to play the game and trying to use Kinect at that point, and I gave up on it because he was just managing to talk over my commands, so to speak. And so Kinect wasn't recognizing it. But any time I've had, you know, myself in front of the TV playing it at normal volume levels and issuing commands, it's been spot on. I will say that I find I use the Kinect stuff more for the story and just doing the story dialogue choices during the cutscenes than I am so much in the combat. I do use it in combat for certain things here and there, and opening doors is very, for whatever reason, very easy for me using Kinect, because I see the, you know, the icon come up and say open, and I just say open, and it opens it. But I was a little surprised, because I really thought I would use it only for the combat stuff and the storyline stuff. I would just not use it at all. And it's been almost the reverse, that I'm much more using it in the story mode stuff and just saying whatever line I want it to respond to. And I'm actually able to put the controller down to an extent and just have it next to me and not feel like I'm having to, you know, have it in my hand all the time pushing buttons. It works. It works. It works very well. Is it a must-have? Is it makes it, you know, head and shoulders better than playing without? No. It's still Mass Effect 3, whether you have Kinect or not. But it adds a layer of depth to Kinect, to Mass Effect 3 by using Kinect, and it gives you some choices in how you want to play the game. And the squad stuff definitely can be useful at times. I don't know. Does that answer your question, Mr. Primrose?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. You are welcome, my friend. All right. Let's talk. Chris, real fast. I know you had another point you wanted to make. Did we cover that, or?
Well,
do you want to bring that up?
You know, I have completely forgotten what my other point was. So I will say this. They've done a nice job of making your squad mates smart enough not to run out and get themselves killed immediately, which was a real problem in Mass Effect 2. Like, if you didn't tell them to hide somewhere, they would stand on top of the cover. So they've done that.
They did that when I played the DLC recently. They did that.
Yeah. But for some reason, and maybe it's because I'm just clumsy, but Shepard seems freaking retarded. I'll walk up to cover and press A to get in cover, and he'll do a dive roll out into the side, into the open. And I'm just like, what are you doing? So that's kind of frustrating time to time. Yeah. Oh, so that was the thing I was going to say is I would like to put out a question to the interwebs. Anybody out there, any of our three listeners, has anyone managed to hijack an Atlas mech? Because I have tried. I know the one that you can't hijack. I've tried with every other one I've come across, and I've yet to succeed.
I didn't know you could hijack a mech.
Well, there's an achievement that says hijack a mech, so I'm assuming it can be done.
Or it might be a story achievement or something, like you've read it. And
could be.
Well, see, I've driven one based on part of the story, and that I thought, oh, here's that achievement. No, you actually have to steal one that's being used. And I kind of know how to do it. Like, you have to shoot the window until the window breaks and then shoot the driver. But despite my many attempts, I have yet to succeed at this.
I would guess using a sniper rifle would probably be the quickest way to do that.
Yeah, I tried that. Oh, well.
I don't know. I got nothing for you right now.
I might have to play it on normal difficulty after I finish my insanity run and see if I can do it then.
All I got to say is now that you just told me I can pilot a mech in this game, I will be trying, let me tell you.
Well, you haven't done... Well...
No, I have not done that. Yes, I know. So we're going to just move away from that conversation.
Well,
la, 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 la.
As spoiler-free as I can make it, there's a mission that is optional but highly encouraged in which there is a mech available for you for the taking without having to steal it.
Got it. Okay, multiplayer co-op. Chris, when you and I first started playing this, there were some very unkind words coming forth from you as we played the multiplayer co-op.
My opinion of the multiplayer co-op has not changed.
So this is good. Let's talk about this.
Well, so let me just say, it is fun. The multiplayer co-op is fun despite its flaws. When we get a group together and we play, we do have a good time. I think that's more owing to just playing the game with people you know. Because I've tried to play it with randoms and it's not fun.
It's not as fun.
But I first from the demo, from the outset, I was very disappointed in the way the co-op is structured. I was really hoping for more of a Gral 2, Battlefield 3 kind of objective-based, go do this mission.
Right.
As opposed to a survival mode. And I know they put those objective waves in there on waves 3, 6, and 10, but there's just a survival wave with an objective. So that was disappointing from the start. I think the maps, well, not all of them. Some of the maps are okay. So the one map with like the nuclear reactor thing that's up high, and then you have kind of a metal structure surrounding some low ground. That one's okay. It's kind of a big square, and you have, you know, there's multiple ways to get everywhere. So that one's all right. The one with the big red buildings is okay.
Hang on. It's a fucking horde mode.
Yes, it is a horde mode. That is what the co-op play is.
I wanted a story, and you go through, and stupid.
Yeah. So anyway, about half the maps are okay in that they're relatively symmetric in shape, relatively large, kind of easy to get around. So if you're getting overrun in one area, it's pretty easy to move to another area and reestablish yourself.
Okay.
But some of the smaller maps, like the really dark one with the nuclear reactor in the middle, that one's like a triangle shape and kind of a weird triangle shape, so you can't always get where you want to go the way you want to get there. And the really tiny gray one on like the shipping or, you know, spaceport kind of thing, that one's kind of hard to get around. You know, you can get trapped pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, kind of building on what you're saying, the maps themselves are all pretty small, and they're all definitely made in that you never feel like you're going anywhere in these maps. You feel like you're just doing a circuit in the maps.
Yeah, well, that's all you're doing.
Yeah, and that's the way that the co-op play plays out. Even your objectives of even when it becomes like you have to go and try and kill XYZ, you know,
yeah,
character or whatever. Even that becomes a circuit because as you kill the first one,
you
have usually four, and they just keep popping up as they go along the map. So I
didn't like that. I really don't like the random nature of the equipment unlocks. You know, you save up money and you save up money and you, or, you know, in-game credits and you buy the Spectre pack. It's like, all right, what am I going to get? Oh, look, I got a Vanguard character. Great. I haven't even tried Vanguard yet. Oh, and a shotgun. Very helpful to get a new shotgun when I'm playing as an engineer. Thanks.
Right. So for listeners that haven't played it yet, so in the co-op mode, you earn credits and you earn as you're playing through, you're also, I guess part of the key part of it is you're helping the galactic readiness.
Let's save that till the end. Let's just talk about the multiplayer right now. We'll talk about the link later.
All right. So you earn credits in game for doing objectives, killing bad guys. You earn money basically, and then you at the end of the game are given an option of going to the store. But unlike other games where you go to a store and you know everything there that you can buy, they show you what you're going to get. Here, it's like you're buying surprise gift boxes, and there are different levels. You know, your basic level, your mid-level, and then your really high-end level. And one costs 4,000 credits, I think, and then it's 10,000 or 20,000 and then 60,000 credits. And the high-end one has, like, everything's random, what's inside the box. So you never know what you're going to get. It's basically like a roll of the dice.
Like a box.
You buy your pack. Yeah, you buy your box. You open it up and see what you get. And the higher level you go, the more guarantees they give you of you're going to get, like, for lack of a better way to put it, a purple item, a purple level item.
Rare item.
And a gold level or a rare level item. But you're never guaranteed to get something for your class, something for your gun that maybe you're liking. So, and once you get this stuff, there's no way to, if it's stuff you don't want, you don't even have an opportunity to sell it off or do anything with it other than it just gets put away and you'll maybe use it one of these days. So I like it and I don't like that. I have to admit. And maybe as I go further into it, I will start to become more annoyed with it as I'm just earning stuff that I already have. But for now, it still is feeling fresh enough that I'm enjoying kind of just that, you know, it's like, you know, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? Roll the dice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So the reason I don't like that is, one, it does take a good long while to build up enough credits to get the highest level pack, right? But two, it just seems like, so you can buy the, you know, you got the rookie pack, the veteran pack, and the Spectre pack.
Right.
You can buy the veteran and Spectre packs with Microsoft points. And so putting it in this kind of random, who knows what you're going to get, structure seems to me just a blatant way to try to get you to spend your Microsoft points on these packs.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. EA is and what's scary is they seem to have found the right price point to tempt you, because it's only 80 Microsoft points or 160 Microsoft points to unlock either a veteran pack or a Uber pack. I can't remember what they're called.
Spectre pack. Yeah.
And
I mean, it is,
you know, just tempting enough, especially the 80 points.
It's the microtransaction future. And
yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with this at all if they had said, we're going to do this, but the game itself is only going to be $50 instead of $60 or whatever. You know?
Right. But instead they said, here's the $60 game. Oh, by the way, day one DLC, you either have paid $20 to get it, or now you can pay $10 to get it. Oh, and by the way, in the multiplayer side of this, you know, this game that you have supposedly your free $10 EA pass for, your season pass for, because you bought it new. Well, now you can also buy stuff if you want.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't have to.
You definitely don't have to.
But yeah. And so
the
last thing that I don't like about it, and then we'll stop bagging on it. It feels like to me, like the pacing is just a little bit off. The enemies move pretty quick,
right,
compared to the way – so the player movement feels very sort of Gears of War-ish, and the enemy movement feels more Halo-like. You know, both of them are kind of slow-paced, but Halo's a little faster.
Right, right.
So that can lead to some annoyances.
And I won't disagree. I definitely feel that and see that at times. Where I think I have come to, and I'll say appreciate that in an odd way, is that this multiplayer co-op play, out of probably, maybe Syndicate was the only other one that I could say really gave this true feeling to me that you really have to play this co-op.
Oh, yeah, you got to work together.
You have to work together. It's a team, and it's unfortunate that it really requires a team of at least three, but most success will happen when you have four. And I like that, because what I've noticed is that you end up covering yourselves and covering your squad mates a lot. And I can't tell you how many times, Chris, when we've been playing and we both said it, you just saved my bacon.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know that enemy had snuck around, flanked us, came up behind us, or spawned in, you know, in a location that we weren't looking at, and one of our teammates suddenly is shooting over our shoulder and killing the guy that was just about to kill us.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, there are a lot of good things about it too. You know, it definitely requires you to work together. And the combination, you know, at the end of the day, playing Mass Effect with your friends just has a coolness to it.
It does. You know, and maybe that'll wear off, but it does right now. It really does have a cool factor to it.
You know, and using all the different powers and all that, it's just kind of fun. So I'm willing to kind of overlook some of those flaws based on that.
Okay. Now let's talk about the tie-in real fast and try and wrap this up.
Yeah.
So the multiplayer was talked about, heralded that it's not required play for the single-player game, but that it would assist in the single-player game. So, Chris, why don't you cover real fast how that plays out, because I think you've had the most experience with the way this works.
So the plot of Mass Effect 3 centers around you have to go around the galaxy and gather support from the other races for this war. Essentially, you have to unify the other races to fight the Reapers together. And so every bit of support that you gather totals up to your military power. You know, you might gain the support of some fleet that's worth 150 military strength or something. And you need to have I think it's about 2,700 is when I had the bar fully green. So you need to have a total of 2,700 military strength or thereabout in order to get the very best ending. You know, save the galaxy right off into the sunset kind of thing. The trick is, if all you do is play the single player, your galactic readiness is at 50%. So if you gather 1,000 war assets, you really only have 500. So by playing the multiplayer, you can increase your galactic readiness rating. So if you get it up to 99 or 100%, then you actually have, you know, the actual amount that you have. So you have to do. Essentially, it seems to me that multiplayer is a replacement for doing side quests, almost.
Yes.
If you want it to be. And,
so it affects
and so
your single-player
kinda...
game.
Say again?
It affects your single-player game.
Yeah.
It can.
Because I was never going to touch it, but I think I will now.
Well, and you don't. Again, you don't have to. If you do the multiplayer and increase your galactic readiness, then you don't have to do as many side quests to gather your war assets, is what I'm saying.
All right, okay.
Right.
And then
it won't hurt you if you don't play the multiplayer.
Yeah.
The one really cool thing about it that I really like, the maximum level in multiplayer is level 20. If you get one of the six classes to level 20, you have the option to promote that class into your single-player game. And what that does is add a special operations squad worth 75 war assets to your single-player.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So not only have you increased your percentage, but you've also added assets. So that, you know, it is kind of a cool tie-in.
Yeah, I really like the prestiging, if you will, tie-in. I did not know it was there, and I kept thinking, God, level 20 feels really short.
I guess I should say, when you promote them, it resets that class back to level 1.
Right. So it resets it back to level 1, and it also is a way for you to try all the different classes.
Yeah.
It's just very it was a nice touch, and I was pleasantly surprised by that.
So, you know, two things they could have done to make this much better. The first would have been to make the maps a little bigger, and the second would have been that as you go through the multiplayer – like some of these objectives, like as you're hacking things or whatever, that if that unlocked items that you could use in the single player, like you go find this really cool assault rifle or something, that would have made it much better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that being a nice change or improvement, if you will.
I mean, if they wanted to tie the two together, you know.
Yeah. My guess as is, though, we just have this crappy game.
Yeah.
I jest. We do love our Mass Effect 3, that is for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at this point we can table the Mass Effect 3 conversation.
Yeah.
I think we've covered about all we can without getting into spoilers. And I don't want to do that because the story is good. The cutscenes, by the way, in Mass Effect 3... better than any of the cutscenes in the previous games.
Yeah.
They feel like a much higher quality and resolution count. I mean, just They look stunning.
But better than any game made ever.
I won't say any game made ever.
Oh, okay.
But they are a market improvement over Mass Effect 2. And I can't, I still haven't figured out yet if they're fully utilizing just in-game engine for these cutscenes, or some of these cutscenes are almost more CGI than...
I think the
some of them are CGI.
The ones that feature Shepard are rendered in-game, and the reason I say that is because whenever he draws a weapon, I notice that that weapon has on it all of the modifications that I've put on it.
Yeah, little cutscenes like that are all in-game. The ones that are CGI are like the Normandy, like flying around by a planet and stuff. Everything else is in-game. Okay.
So like there's the one really awesome cutscene of, the one really awesome,
cutscene
of the two enemies, the two huge enemies fighting each other. I think that was CGI.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. It's a great game. Looks good. Feels good. Sure, it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good. I guess we can shift gears now. No pun intended. Let's talk about some new releases.
We did talk about that for a long time. Sorry.
All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii, nothing.
Nope.
Nothing. We got some DLC, though. Just Dance 3.
Yay.
Rock Band updates, which, by the way, Rock Band updates, out of control. 3DS has got some love. Silverlicious. That's a DS title. And Zaya Zaya, also a DS title, coming out to 3DS. PS3, all kinds of stuff going on there. Birds of Steel, FIFA Street.
Oh, FIFA Street.
Naruto Shippuden Ultima Storm Generation. FIFA Street is back. Silent Hill Downpour coming out to the retail shelves. Tales of Graces F. I don't know. It's literally the name. And then the Yakuza game, Yakuza Dead Souls, finally coming out to retail.
That's Yakuza meets Dark Souls.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat vs. Capcom. Boom.
And zombies.
Boom. $1 million. There you go. Next.
Hey, I got a game called Yakuza and Dark Souls. We're just making a bow. $1 million. You get a bow, I get a bow. We're all happy, too.
That's exactly how that right conversation went down.
Pretty, print it and ship it and we're fucking done.
PSN games this week. Bioshock 2. James Cameron's Avatar the Game. Journey. Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension. Skip the first. Shoot Many Robots. Time Machine Rogue Pilot. And Warp.
Wow. Is that a list of terrible names of games?
Possibly.
Huh.
Demos out this week. You also can play Shoot Many Robots for free on the PSN this week. And DLC. Final Fantasy 13-2. Jill Nabat. Sure, that's how you pronounce it. And Street Fighter, X Tekken, Mega Man, and Pac Man comes out this week.
Fucking hell.
And last but not least, Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception, Shade Survival. Yeah.
Is that a story thing or a multiplayer map thing or what?
I don't know.
It's Ridge Racer! Yeah, it's Ridge Racer! Alright.
PSP Vita, Ridge Racer coming out.
Ridge Racer.
You also have some PSN games out for the Vita, Reality Fighters, and, of course, the aforementioned Ridge Racer.
I like the other game, Unreality Fighters. They just fight in very comical ways.
It's horrible. demos out for the PS Vita, Hot Shots Golf World Invitational, Ridge Racer, Shinobi Dobo 2 Revenge of Zen, and Wipeout 2048. Xbox 360 this week. Retail shelves, Birds of Steel, FIFA Street, Naruto Shippuden Generations, Silent Hill Downpour, Xbox Live Arcade this week. It is Shoot Many Robots. Of course, it always gets a demo. And Final Fantasy, Jill Nabat, and Just Dance.
Jill Nabat! God, that's just racist what you did.
Totally. Deals of the week.
Just email japan@japan.com. Send us your details. Sorry, Greg, go on.
It's okay. Deals of the week this week. You've got Dungeons & Dragons, Daggerdale, Deathspank, The Baconing, Torchlight, Warhammer, 40,000 Space, Kill Team, all half
is
off.
Is that a list of games I don't care about because it's about wizards and elves and shit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except for the last one. The last one doesn't have any elves. But it's got goblins.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it for new releases.
Oh, yeah.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, it's news quiz time.
Ta-da.
I bet Chris never thought we would get to this point in the podcast.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was dicey there for a little bit.
Oh, let's talk about the fucking Mass Effect and the stories and shit.
It's your fault.
You know what?
I whizzed through what I've been playing. Whizzed it.
God forbid, Mike, that we should talk about a new game every now and again.
Oh, here we go. Have a go at the person who has fucking social life. Here we go. Let's go.
All right. We're going to start talking news quiz. So one out of four hosts has dropped out of this news quiz.
Not because,
who might that be?
Not because he politely said, lads, it's getting late, I've got to go to bed. It's because he has just gone, like just vanished, and we don't know where he is anymore.
Yeah, he's still on the call. We just don't know where he is.
I heard him say something about that guy's CP hates me, and so he left.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty sure at this point he is face down on his laptop.
Face down, puddle of his own drool.
Yep.
Maybe the laptop broke, like, so he thinks we're just ignoring him.
The laptop's all fizzing from the drool and everything. He's setting on fire and everything.
I'm really hoping he will wake up at some point and just scream Battlefield 3.
Just go, "Where's the Mass Effect, the multiplayer, Dark Souls?
Dark Souls, man! Fucking Dark Souls!
Dark Souls, fucking Half-Life, stupid!"
Hey, we're talking news quiz here.
Yay.
So, Mr. Webster, you are first up.
Ooh,
on the hot seat.
Okay, I haven't even seen the questions, guys. This shit just got real.
We don't see the questions.
Nobody is. Nobody sees the questions. I am the quiz master. Here we go.
I am.
Alan Wake got off to a slow start sales-wise.
Yeah.
And that was largely thanks to games like Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
But Remedy recently indicated that Alan Wake was profitable for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they now have let us know just how well it has done.
2 million sold.
360 and PC. Mr. Webster, it's not a race to the answer. You're supposed to allow the other options to be said because listeners, they want to play along with the quiz too.
All right, okay.
See? Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sorry, listeners.
Yeah, it's okay. But you are correct. It is 2 million copies sold.
What a douche.
Which is surprising number for Alan Wake.
Yeah. I mean, 1.8 million of that was from the PC.
Probably.
Because who the fuck bought that game? Rent, baby. When Red Dead Redemption come out, fuck Alan Wake. I lent it off my friend. I didn't even pay to rent it.
But it's been a slow climber.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually a good game.
It is a good game. Mm. It is indeed a good game. Okay, next, Mr. Matthew, you are up.
Okay.
NPDs came out last week.
2 million
Matthew.
Sold. Sorry.
What hardware platform?
Alan Wake.
Pulled into the second spot. Was it the PS3? The 3DS or the Wii?
3DS. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You are incorrect. Hardware came in
numbers
with the
PS3. Start counting.
Yeah, PS3 took number two. Xbox 360 came in number one. It was the PS3, the 3DS, the Wii, the Vita, and the DS. Software-wise, we saw from top to bottom, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3 taking the top spot.
Duty.
Final Fantasy 13 2, UFC Undisputed 3, Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, Just Dance 3, NBA 2K12, Soul Calibur 5, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim.
Ooh, yeah.
Twisted Metal, and Battlefield 3 rounding out the top 10.
Ooh-ah.
So, yeah, there you have it. And that was for the month of February, so decent. The good news was it was a market improvement overall numbers for February compared to January, but year to year comparisons still showed the industry on a whole, and I said it again, was in decline.
Really?
Yeah.
In decline.
Everybody was down. Everybody was down. Microsoft was down 20%. Sony was down 11%. Nintendo was the big hit. They were down 50% over what they had done last year.
That's because everyone's got two Wiis now. No one's going to fucking buy out another third Wii. Come on.
I think the Wii and the Wii and the 360 and the PS3, I mean, all of them are at least 5 years old now, so they're...
The only people that are buying consoles nowadays are the ones that are replacing broken ones. Anyone who's got a 360 now has got one, haven't they? Apart from little Timmy. Getting one for Christmas.
Little Timmy. We love little Timmy.
What
speaking
am
of
I getting right?
Never, Timmy. Shut up.
PS2.
Yeah. Mike, this question right up your alley.
All right. Alley, Noah.
To the shock of many, Mike, yep. Peter Molyneux has announced he is leaving Microsoft and Lionhead.
Peter Molyneux.
At the GDC conference this past week.
I'm out, bitches.
Yeah. And basically... here's the question to you. Yep. Is his departure, A, effective immediately as he heads to a new startup to work on their game, B, will be at the conclusion of Fable Journey as he is hanging up his development shoes completely and retiring, or is C, is it effective immediately, but he will continue to work on Fable the Journey to its conclusion?
Well, I think I know that he's making up a new startup.
Excuse me.
Is this it? Greg, is this where you... Was that it? That's number time. Shit. That's what I'd be like on Countdown. Greg, are you okay? Are you still alive? First, let's get our priorities straight.
No, I am in the process of dying, so we need to make this quick.
Okay, so. In the fear that Greg might die, I will say A, because I'm pretty sure I heard he's doing a new startup. But C would also allow for this, but I'll go for A.
Should have gone with C, Mike. Should have gone with C. Yes, he is. the leaving of Microsoft and Lionhead is actually effective immediately, as he has left. But he is going to continue as a consultant to work on Fable the Journey to its conclusion.
But he is making a startup company, though, isn't he?
Yes, he is heading off to a startup.
Oh, by the way, Greg, before you call
22 cans.
I was going to say, before you do that, bonus question, you know?
Yeah.
For if you can name his shoe size, come on, half a point. What do you reckon?
No.
Just throwing that in there to the mix?
No.
No? All right.
This is why you're not the quizmaster. Rich,
yes.
But you can answer this question.
Okay.
Right here. UK software charts came out this past week.
Okay.
And saw Mass Effect 3 taking the number one spot. Who took number two, Rich? Was it FIFA 12, Street Fighter X Tekken, or SSX?
What's up number one sales?
That's tickled me.
Yes. UK software sales.
Beginning
March 10th.
I'm just going to go FIFA, but I don't even know if it's out. FIFA 12. I don't even know if it's come out. I don't pay attention to FIFA.
I'm sorry. You would be wrong.
FIFA 12.
So it is Mass Effect 3.
Oh, damn it.
SSX took number 2. Street Fighter X Tekken took number 3. And FIFA 12 took number 4.
Mm-hmm. What was the question?
Mario Party 9. Which took the number 2 spot.
Oh, right, okay.
It's good to see you're paying attention. The Sims 3 came in at number 6. Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games. God, UK, you should be ashamed, took number 7.
Oh,
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 got beat out by that said game at number 8, as did Assassin's Creed Revelations at number 9, and pulling in the rear, because it's working on the rear, Zumba Fitness.
Hey, yeah. Sonic, what's the shit with this congestion charge in London? What the fuck?
I don't know, man. I just run everywhere. I don't give a shit.
What the fuck? Where's Luigi? He's parking the car, paying the congestion. I'll carry on.
Moving on. Mr. Matthew, the memory of Peter Molyneux isn't even cold yet, but Microsoft hasn't wasted any time, and they officially announced the new corporate vice president of Microsoft's Interactive Entertainment business arm, with the focus on European markets. Is it A, Peter Moore, B, Phil Harrison, or C, Sir Howard Stringer?
It's B, Phil Harrison, and for the bonus point, he used to work for Sony. Yeah.
Yes.
Phil Harrison. He's not the guy who sweats and looks like he's having a stroke, is it?
He's really tall
and
bald.
No, that's Sir Howard Stringer. No. Yes, he's very tall and bald. He indeed was head of Sony in Europe.
Oh, that guy.
Left and went to Atari for about a year, it seems like, and then is now.
Well, he went
back
there, realized they don't make games anymore, and got a new job.
Well, that's when they was like rebranded, and he was going to sort it all out, and then he went, "This is messed up."
What did I do?
He goes into the office and goes, "Look, our greatest achievement recently is Alone in the Dark. Where are you going? Why are you walking out?"
Yeah.
Brilliant. Mike.
Yo.
What hardware device got full disclosure during the week of GDC with actual specs and release date timing? Was it A, the iPad, B, the Wii U, or C, Xbox Durango?
Wii U.
Sorry, Mike, you would be wrong.
Fuck the iPad.
A year and 5 days after the iPod 2 launched, Apple is announcing their new one. Yeah.
iPad 3.
The iPad. It's not the iPad 3. They're renaming it just iPad.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, calling it the iPad.
Yeah, supposedly it's a beast of a machine, though.
It's just faster with an SD card port.
It's got a retinal display.
Touchscreen. Don't forget touchscreen.
Of course, touchscreen. A nice quote from Mike Capps from Epic Games said, "Apple is definitely building their devices as if they care a lot about AAA games. It's quite easy to imagine a world where an iPad is more powerful than a home console, where it wirelessly talks to your TV and wirelessly talks to your controller and becomes your new console."
Yeah, I can't wait to play the next Gears of War with fucking tilt controls.
Well, what they're saying is that you could have a Bluetooth controller that talks to your iPad.
So then you've got to spend £500 on an Apple stand for your iPad.
So
only an Apple one's going to work.
Okay.
What the hell am I going to do with my fucking £1,000 TV?
This is why we booted you out of the country. You need to listen.
I just bought an expensive TV. Oh, you play on the 10-inch screen there. Fuck you, Apple.
So your iPad can wirelessly beam to the TV. Yeah.
it's not technically a beam if it's going wireless, because that's a broadcast. Right.
Thanks for that.
A visual beam.
Trying to give the visual representation.
Like a blue
here.
Line shooting.
Well, if it was infrared, then it could be a beam. But if it's radio frequency, it's a broadcast.
You expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die with this elaborate laser beam.
Frickin' sharks and frickin' laser beams.
Last question is going to go to you, Mr. Webster.
Okay.
All right. Listen to all the possibilities before you answer, please.
Okay.
Xbox Live achievement point. To get a makeover.
Okay.
Stop Googling.
Okay.
What will the new cap for Xbox Live games be?
Ooh.
Will it be A, no change in total 200 points, but an increase in avatar awards?
You mean Xbox Live arcade games?
Yes. Okay. I did say Xbox Live arcade, yes.
You just said Xbox Live, but now we know.
Okay, we Xbox are. Live arcade games. I apologize. Will it be B, an increase to 300 points, or C, an increase to 400 points?
What was A?
A was no change in the total 200 points, but an increase in the ability to give avatar awards.
I think it's 400.
You would be correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So the same person that basically leaked the new cap raising of the console, the main game,
has now been shot.
He's not been shot, Mike. Oh. He's actually revealed that this change is going to be coming June 1st. That Xbox Live Arcade games will go up to 400 points.
Good.
With a maximum of 30 achievements in the game.
Good.
DLC for those games will be up to 100 Gamerscore points per DLC, but allow 4, which they were previously stopped at 3 per quarter. And a total of 800 Gamerscore now can be part of an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Good.
via DLC as well.
There is an exception, though, isn't there?
I do tell you.
You guys probably know. Resi 4 is going to have 1,000.
Yeah, but it's not technically an arcade game, mate. It's a game on demand type thing.
Exactly.
It's being released on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, but.
Well, it's being released through Xbox Live. I believe it's not an arcade release.
Well, we'll see on the day, won't we?
We will.
Fuck you. Yeah, we will.
Resident Evil 4?
Yeah.
Oh, that's. Well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't believe that's an arcade title
I think that's a game on demand. Some other people were talking about Pinball FX, because, like, I think Pinball FX already has, like, 2,400 possible achievement points, but that's because Pinball FX is, like, a hub, and each table is considered its own game. Same thing with Hasbro Family Game Night.
Mm.
Right.
What game started this off, Greg? Because I remember a couple of years ago when we were talking about it, I think it was on Couch Mercenaries, when Halo 3 kicked it off, didn't it? And it was like, okay, we're increasing it to, you know, 1250, right. 1750. Is there a game that's coming out that's making this change, or is it just Microsoft going, you know, people want achievements, let's give them an achievement?
There's no specific game. Yeah, there's no specific game that's coming out, other than the fact that they mentioned that Gears of War 3 is the first game that's raised the cap to 2,000 points.
Is it really?
Above and beyond the 1,700, yeah.
And that will come
with the new DLC.
I think it was Gears 2 that raised it before as well to, like, 1,700.
No. Halo 3 was at 1750.
Was it?
Yeah, with the it had three map packs, didn't it? Heroic, Legendary, something else. Mystic.
Yeah, there was Heroic, Legendary, and Mythic packs.
Yeah, that's it.
We're getting an echo, Chris.
We are getting a little bit of an echo. It happens.
I wonder why.
There you go.
Oh, my fish.
All right, well, that's it for the news quiz, guys.
News quiz.
So,
yeah.
Time for the forced show break.
Who won? Because that's the point, really. Let's just fuck off if no one's going to win, if it's just for the fun.
Let's just skip the break.
Well, we're going to roll right through the break, I promise.
When I get online, I'm feeling like something's not right. Cause the bullets curve like some people unlock that wanted perk, yeah. Aiming my shotgun and choose pure dust, man, this ain't fun. That's how I know it's time to go. Dude's dodging shots like he's Neo. Whoa. Girl, look at my form arm. Girl, look at my form arm. Girl, look at my form arm. It don't count. Girl, look at my form arm. Girl, look at my form arm. Girl, look at my form arm. I am out when I get in a match, yeah. This is what I see. Okay. The game skipping frames like a stop motion movie. And I'm shooting everyone, but the kill cam doesn't show it. Show it, show it, show it. I'm lagging and I know it. I'm lagging and I know it. Yo, I just wanna be going ham, getting kill feeds. But when I'm on a streak, lack compensation's always pwning me. Yeah, my bandwidth is boss. I even pay extra for bios. 18 up and down, still got me nervous, cause the game acts like I'm still in service. Wah! Girl, look at my poor barn. Girl, look at my poor barn. Girl, look at my poor barn. It don't count. Girl, look at my poor barn. Girl, look at my poor barn. Girl, look at my poor barn. I am out when I'm hosting a match. This is what I see. Okay. The game skipping frames like flipbook COD. And I'm shooting everyone, but the kill cam doesn't show it. Show it, show it, show it. I'm lagging and I know it. I'm lagging, man. I'm lagging, man. I'm lagging and I know it.
All right, we are back from the break. I know, it was long. I apologize. So, question of the week for show 159. What class are you going to play in Mass Effect 3 and why? We kind of got a late start and, again, a little bit of a convoluted way of posting this question, Mr. Matthew. Because it appeared at the bottom of our contest question.
Shut your hole.
We did have a few responses to this question, but why don't we just go around the room real quick? Myself, I really, you know, I went straight to Soldier. That was the class I took from Mass Effect 2. And I'm enjoying it so far. I actually prefer to play Soldier more in the multiplayer than I do so much in the single player game. What about you, Mr. Matthew?
I'm playing a Soldier, although I may be thinking of understanding the game mechanics now. I might have chosen a different class. So in the previous two, I chose Soldier because you could use every gun.
Right.
But in this one, because of the way the weight of your equipment lowers your power recharge time, even as a Soldier, I'm only carrying two weapons. So I might have started as an Engineer instead. And I've also read a few people saying they're having a lot of fun with the Infiltrator class because you got that tactical cloak. So I pick Soldier because I think that's the easiest, because you can be the tank and you can have a biotic and a techie engineers hide behind the cover and use their powers from over there safe. You know, so that's why I pick Soldier.
Okay. Mr. Webster, what about you?
Yeah, I'm the same, really. I like to use my Soldier guy. I like to be the guy who's got all the shit and then just use my other two as usually hot females with, you know.
Lots, so you like to go with the entourage?
Yeah, you know, I feel like a pimp, you know. I've got Liara on one ball and, you know.
Okay.
It's
terrible.
Basically like one person I'll use like an infiltrate, like an engineer type of person. Someone will have like overload and then the other person will have incinerate and then the other shit that goes with it. I like to roll like that.
Okay. Mike, what about you? I mean, clearly you played Mass Effect 2, so you must have an idea of what classes you prefer.
Hey, I'm Mike, and I like to shoot things. Give me a gun, I shoot them.
So you must be a Soldier.
Yeah, I know, man. Just give me a gun, I shoot them, and then dang, dope.
Any thoughts of being an Engineer, Mike?
No. I did think about replaying it as a kind of Fuss Radar one. You know, it's a lot of hours. I spent 51 hours in Mass Effect 2 and 30 in Mass Effect. That's 80 hours nowadays, but 70 hours or 60 or whatever it is. I don't know, I'm not a mathematician. But that's a lot of hours. It's like 2 weeks of work. Shit.
Clearly you're not a mathematician.
71 hours, Jesus.
All right. We would normally ask
Mr. Primrose
what he wanted. Yeah, no. All right. Why don't we jump over to some forums?
I could do a Primrose impression if you want. No, well,
I don't need to hear snoring. We're gonna crack
why
on.
Why you let me talk?
I don't know why.
Because Mr. Mute the guy on the other end of the microphone.
I know. If I could mute you, Mike, I would.
I would be on the show.
Oh, Mr. Matthew, if you'd be so kind, can you read off the gate responses?
The G4TE gaming for the elderly responses, very well. Didn't get a whole lot of responses to this question, so apparently no one cares, but that's all right. Nick Nitrous 15, however, did say, my dream car is a weird choice, a Toyota Hilux, H-I-L-U-X. I know it's a pickup, but I've always wanted one from the first time I saw it in Back to the Future. Ah, okay, so it's the Marty McFly truck. That was a pretty boss-looking truck.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Plus, Top Gear UK has shown it, and it's a tough son of a bitch. And then he responds, forgot to answer the ME3 question. I'm playing as an infiltrator like I did in the previous games. I like playing as a sniper. There you have it. Okay. We had one response from the Play Vault, John Mouse. Says the exact car from Back to the Future. I'm noticing a theme here. With my very own Doc. It has to be the exact DeLorean and no replicas, please. Added hoverboard would be greatly appreciated.
Three more years.
And we'll have hoverboards.
Yes.
Yes.
Same. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess this is where the podcast is derailed again. We've, I think, what, now this is like the fourth time. But, so we had this contest. We probably should talk about that right now, because it just makes sense.
Oh my God, Greg.
Makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. So, the contest
on a whole
was, don't even go there. I don't want to hear
sorry,
any
I'm
of that
taking
nonsense.
Me meds. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was the Where Dreams Are Driven contest. Basically, tell us what your dream car is, and a winner will be drawn at random for a PAL version of Forza 4.
Oh, that makes more sense now.
Yeah, it does make more sense that people have been talking about their dream car.
Yeah.
So at this point, we're going to say, Mr. Nick Nitrous, congratulations.
Yay.
You indeed are the winner.
Yay!
Which
was decided by the flip of the coin before the show.
Before the show, before the half, before the quarter.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well done, Nick.
But yeah, Nick, nicely done. Thank you for participating. We reward participation. That's what it boils down to. Even when people don't want the rewards, we give them for participating.
Yeah.
Just like this email from our good friend William Wagner, also known as Thuper. It starts off, lol, thanks for the win. He was our winner for our Limerick contest, by the way.
All right.
He says, and apologies for going AWOL. But I was just throwing a limerick out there for fun. I don't want dirt for PC.
Oh.
And no.
Fuck you then.
And I purposely didn't write my limerick about another member. He wrote it about himself, but by default, he is a gate member. As I was not attempting to win, just participate. So we rewarded his participation by giving him the win. Now he doesn't want it.
I'm only joking when I say fuck you then.
He did say, I thought parsnips was pretty good for Chinny's tall and skinny thingy. And I tend to agree. So I will say this. Mr. Parsnip, if you indeed would like that dirt code for PC, let us know. I think your limericks were certainly worthy, even if Mr. Matthew wasn't crazy about your fable ones, you can get that code. If you don't want it, let us know. And maybe we'll do some kind of random draw for it, for somebody who does want it. Because it is for the PC, and you got to be a PC gamer. And there's just a handful of them, like...
Two or three. Tops.
Richard guy. Yeah, just a handful.
Two of them are sat here on this podcast.
Anyway, so yeah, he said, save the prizes for future contests. Recycle that stuff, yo. Thuper. Thanks for that, Thuper. The next email I'll go ahead and take, and then I will give the next one after that to Mr. Mike. Eric Piotrowski wrote in, hey guys, just dropping a line to say what's up. Yeah. Ha. Well, alrighty then. Insert loud obnoxious sound effect here.
Honk.
There you go. I wrote that with a finger on shift. No cap lock for me. Yeah, boy. Hugs, Duke Scath.
Yeah, I never cap lock. I shift all through my life.
I'm a shifter, unless I have to be writing in cap lock. Which
I don't. I remember the day I converted from cap lock to shift. I remember that day. It was there was a girl at my school called Samantha Turner. She told me that you could hold shift down for a cap, so it blew me away. I was like, shit.
Really, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike Higgins, Mike.
Oh, right, yeah. Mark Higgins said, evening, gents. Desaint 502 here. Could you give my Forza 4 patron challenge a shout-out? The Club Racer theme car. We're a couple of weeks in and only a few more to go until the end of the month. Then a challenge to start. Now, I've had some early entries, but I'm sure they're going to be small rushing in at the end of the month. And I was hoping to bag the 500 Microsoft point prize. You will find all the details for Forza 4 sections at the forums. It's a sticky at the top, so it's easy to find. Come on, get painting. Great show. And carry out all the outstanding work. Latest, Mike.
sounds about like the guy on a face jacker, on phone jacker.
It's funny that he's very soft-spoken like that, because if you've ever been in a lobby with Mike, he is very quiet.
I have.
No, I don't even know what he sounds like, the poor guy.
If you've ever been alone with him in an elevator,
yeah.
He's quite soft-spoken.
Yeah. There you go. That was Mark's
speaking of soft-spoken, Mr. Webster, I believe you have our next email.
Yeah, Parsnip Nose.
Go do this in a Cockney accent. Go.
Hi, guys. If you could be any character from any video game, who'd it be? And don't say Leisure Suit Larry, because I've already picked him. Take care. Parsnip.
At times, you almost sound like him. And then there's other times where you sound...
Then you sound like Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of went into Michael Caine a bit there.
I told your parents I would protect you. And now I haven't.
So, any character from any video game...
Right, Parsnip.
Who would you be? Mr. Primrose, why don't you start off? Sorry. Primrose is dead to us.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
Webster, start us off.
Oh, any character from any video game. I'd want to be Richard Shepard from Mass Effect. Yeah, you might know him.
Yeah. Any particular reason behind that pick?
Yeah, because he basically gets all the people that I would get with, the blue weirdo aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Mike, what about you?
I was going to say like Nathan Drake or something, but I was like, fuck that. He gets hurt constantly, all right? So maybe not that guy. Mike Shepard would be a good one.
right.
But, Richard's already said that. So I'll say my character from Saints Row, because I seem to kind of get away with murder, literally. Like, and we all want to murder.
Okay.
We all want to murder someone, right? Am I right?
Clearly.
So,
yeah. No. Me. Okay. Mr. Matthew, how about you?
Shepherd's kind of the easy one because that's the game that's fresh in all of our minds right now. But I'm going to go with the butler from Fable 3 because he has a pretty easy life.
He did have a pretty easy life. Nice posh surroundings. That was good. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
It's not an easy question, though, because either everybody goes through amazing trauma or dies in video games. So, you wouldn't want to be,
I was going to say John Marsden, but, he has a pretty rough time of it.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad ending.
Yeah.
I'll be zombie John Marsden.
I'm going to go with Spartan, John 117?
Ah.
Master Chief.
Yeah.
Because, think about it. Dude never dies.
Dude never sleeps.
Pretty much doesn't need sleep. Kicks ass all the time.
Masturbates like a trooper.
Amazing things. Has a masturbation problem, apparently.
Because he's on a ship. Stranded. Yeah. What the fuck's he got to do? and as a massive cock tease, he's got to look at a female hologram. Like, oh, it's a star.
He's asleep, dude. He's chilling. He's in hibernation.
Maybe I don't want to be Master Chief.
Imagine the toilet.
What?
The toilet.
I take it back. You know who I want to be? Tiger Woods.
I don't know. Didn't work out too well for him either.
That's a good point. Yeah. Damn it. all right, Parsnip. Thank you for that great question. Okay, that leads us to our question for next show. And this ties into the whole iPad thing. So if you could play console-type games on a tablet, i.e. as in like the new iPad or the potential future of the iPad, would you ever consider giving up your console?
Nope. Booyah. Next.
We'll talk about that next week.
So what's next week's question?
Well, we'll have to figure that out next week. All right, Playdates. Chris, help this show out.
Yeah.
Make it sound professional.
Let's bring it into the home stretch. So not a lot going on over the next few days, but I'm certain that if you look carefully, you will find several people playing Mass Effect 3 co-op, so jump in. But if you want something scheduled because you're that kind of person, Forza Motorsport 4 beginning at 4 p.m. East, 8 p.m. in the UK on Saturday. That's this Saturday. Don't forget that for at least another week and a half, the UK and the East Coast are only 4 hours apart, because we changed our time early and the rest of you are late. And also Saturday, Gears of War 3 at 2 p.m. East, 6 p.m. in the UK. Yeah. And the veteran gamers will be doing something at 6 p.m. Gross Mountain Time.
There it is. There it is. Look.
And they think it will be Assassin's Creed Revelation.
I think it is.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Richard Webster. No one cares. Happy birthday this week to Athmok, Tamps, Nick Nitrous, and U.S. Navy Vet, another veteran on the website. Good to see. And no new members. So if you're listening to the show and you haven't signed up for the forums, do so.
Yes. And on that note, we do have a community spotlight. And here we go.
Hello, it's Parsnip Nose again with another weekly community spotlight. I'd just like to mention one last time the guys that took part in the Mini Cooper tournament. It was the most ridiculous and fun thing I think I've been involved in. So thank you to everybody that was involved, those who helped organize it and those who took part every week. Thoroughly enjoyed myself, so thank you. And a big congratulations to Ginger's team, who completely slaughtered us. They were just so well organized, so well done to you. I'd also like to say hello to my little boy, Jake, who is 7, and he broke his arm on Sunday evening. So I hope you get better soon, Jake, and well done for being so brave.
Well, Jake, if you are listening to this podcast, you should not be, because you've heard many bad words.
Many rude words.
Yeah.
Go to your room.
Do you know what, Chris, I sound comedies. Nothing like him at all. I was doing Towie. I was not doing nice, you know.
I like the fact
North
that
London.
You said Towie, and clearly Greg and Chris would have no idea what you just
That's
meant.
That's why I
what?
Said it.
I know. But I do like the fact that you're blaming Chris for saying you sounded like him when it was in fact I. That's,
you all sound
that
the same.
You sounded like him. Damn it. Damn my American accent.
I give up.
Yeah, I give up too. This train wreck is done.
If you've given up and you want to email the show about how we can fix it, you can send an email to ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Smooth.
That's ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, Chris.
Right.
So if I wanted to use Twitter and contact the show, how would I do that, Chris?
I don't know why you would use Twitter, but if you did, you would send a tweet to @OC_podcast. Or if
Thanks,
you just want to shout in our ear, you can yep. call the voice line at 626-506-2763 or 626-50-OC-POD from the U.S. You can call us from the U.K. if you've got bank, but it will cost you some change.
If you are related to the royal family, you can call us from the U.K. as well.
Who phones these days?
I don't know.
Somebody does.
People phone these days. Get on the phone.
iTunes and Zune reviews, we do have a one last like 100-point code to give away.
Zune
we'll give it
review.
Away. Yeah. They happened. They did happen. Stop it. Don't make fun of the Zune.
I'm just going to delete Zune from that list of things.
That's my... Damn it! All right. Shout-outs. Let's really wrap this show up. Richard Webster, give me some sponge cake love. Go.
Yeah, shout-outs there. I want to say Sponge Cake. I want to shout out you fine gents for having me on again. Shout out to...
Like had a choice.
Yeah, I was just here. I was just muscled in. Shout out to Hardly Dan from the Gamesman and Iron Hammers podcasts for telling me about Raspberry Pi, the tiny little PC for £30. I'll be getting one of them. Don't know what I'll do.
For some reason, when you said Raspberry Pi, I thought that was some kind of fruit version of CSI. That's what I said. That's what I had in my head. Like,
lab investigator. Someone's murdered this banana.
CSI on tomato. There's tomato juice all over the place. And he goes like 3D animation.
I think it's actually pronounced Raspberry Pi, but it's spelt P-I. I want to shout out to Skullduggery for last week. He mentioned about
for turning up,
King of Kong. I've seen it and it's fantastic. It's actually really, really good.
I think they're going to make another one because there's a lot more happened since the end of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, 20 years went by. You know, people actually lost those silly haircuts. and stopped playing fucking King Kong. Started playing some real games. Like Skyrim, which I've just got an interesting fact. The guy who voices Super Mario in all the games voiced one of the dragons in Skyrim. There you go.
What did he say?
No, actual... I don't want to spoil Skyrim, but actually voiced a dragon in Skyrim. There you go.
Son of a bitch.
Did he say... Did the dragon come down and go, "Hey, a Sonic, what the fuck? We go to London."
It's a me, the dragon.
First, what are you? Bollocks.
Rich, keep going. Just keep going. For the love of God, keep going.
Hey, what's the name of Mario jokes? Mario being a dragon? What the hell is the dragon with you? Mario is a dragon, Greg. Look, this is comedy gold. I don't know why you would want this to move on.
Because everybody listening to this show right now is, for the love of
they're
God,
not. They're
just
loving it.
Stop.
It's half no. one. It's half one in the morning, and you're getting comedy gold like Mario is a dragon out of me. Yep.
Yeah, it just happened.
Move on from that.
I don't even
Mario.
Remember anyone's name. Just move
Mario
on.
Mario has a dragon. Go, Chris. Follow that.
Mario as a dragon, follow that?
Yeah.
The only way I can follow that is to shout out the Facebook fan of the week, Mark and Jenny Wright. So well done, you. That's Mark Hanix and Mrs. Mark Hanix. Shout out to Kern456 and Shinyverse for jumping in Halo Reach on Sunday night and giving me a brief respite from saving the galaxy and putting up with my usual cherub-like demeanor. And... everyone who's been on Mass Effect 3 this week, too many to mention, but it's been good times, and I'm hopefully going to get in there very soon. Who's next? Just go.
Mike, why don't you go?
Chris only wants to hurry this along because he wants to play video games. I want to hurry this along because I want to go to sleep.
Imagine that.
Well, which is amazing because you don't seem like you really want to hurry this
along. I'm on a podcast about video games, and I want to play video games. Who'd have thunk it?
Craziness.
I want to play video games. Do 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 do. Right. Okay. So, I was
it's
playing.
It's me.
It's me, a dragon. Right. So I want to shout out Bob Warman and Samina Jim Ali Khan. Right. Oh, when Mark's talking, let's talk over him. Right. Bob Warman and Samina Ali Khan. They're news presenters that I met tonight, and I was like, I know you. Cool. And they didn't think I was weird or put a 30-mile radius on them so I can get to them. I also shout out Gavlar, who's on the VG forums, because he sent me a funny message when I was playing Mass Effect 2, and that made me literally laugh out loud. So
Is Gav from Liverpool?
I do not know.
Okay. It's a joke for people from Liverpool. Never mind.
All right. Well done, Liverpool.
Yeah, all right. Going there on Sunday. Anyway, carry on.
No, he's Scottish. He's from Inverness. There you go.
Love Scotland.
Scotland, right. So I'll just move on. No, and whoever's not shooting out can shoot out.
That would be me.
Greg, off you go.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem.
A little love to Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux.
I like the guy. I hope he does well in his new venture. Good luck to you. Mike, I want to shout you out for that very tactful response to my question to you earlier on WhatsApp. And I can read you exactly how this went down.
Paul, I don't even remember what it was.
Yo, Mike, we had a time change here. Forgot to tell you. Can you jump on now? No.
Well said.
I was at a car park in Birmingham when I said that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was priceless.
Tell me.
That's when Chris and I decided we'll do the show without the Brits. We hadn't heard from anybody, and then suddenly you guys just jumped out of the woodworks like little ticks coming out of wood.
Yeah.
Generally, ticks don't hang out in the...
I know. I knew it. I knew it.
Hey, I'm a dragon. What the fuck's the deal with ticks?
Damn it.
They don't jump anymore.
You know what? That's it. The show's done.
What's your name? Dr. William McDougal. From now on, you're groundskeeper Willie.
Rich, pleasant dreams, Mr. Primrose. We hope you sleep tight. I can't believe he's still on the call, asleep.
That's what I mean. He's not even gone. He's right there. Rich.
I don't know why he bothers turning up, because he always falls asleep.
It's a good thing that Skype doesn't charge per minute, though, because he's going to wake up tomorrow morning with like a 7-hour long call.
Jeez.
Do you know what I might do? I might just wait up, guys, and just wait and see what happens.
So the funny thing is, last time we joked around about he was going to wake up, and Chris, you even said he's going to wake up around 4 o'clock in the morning with a puddle of drool on his iPad, and sure enough, he told me he woke up at 4:30 in the morning drooling on his computer. So I predict something very similar is going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Bring him in. You know that.
Yeah. Chad Warden.
Oh, by the way, Conger's response to me, after he said, I've got to do the dinner thing in a bit, and I said, we understand. You love your wife and dinner more than us. His response, I have to.
Those are the rules.
Thinks of it that way.
I knew we had a time change, and I just thought, it still starts at 11 for some reason. I just thought you would know. But then I know that for a fact that you're terrible with time changes.
Hey, everybody.
That was good.
Yeah, my voice very well may crack on me a few times today. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night just hacking. All right.
Lovely.
Hack, hack, hack.
Now to the introduction. Primrose is possibly going to be joining us late. He had to do work stuff tonight. So
he's dead.
Okay.
Yeah, he's dead.
How's my quality tonight?
I believe your quality is just fine.
Okay. How's your quantity tonight?
Slim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
it happens. It happens.
I'm by a window.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.